This is Mick Foley, the Hardcore Legend, and this is InYourHeadOnline.com.
This is Zach Myers, the Extreme Shock, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
Hey, this is Stevie Richards, and you're listening to In Your Head.
Hey, this is Mikey Whipwreck from ECW, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com. Or am I in your head? Or my head, your head? Somebody's head. Alpha the One's head? Alpha the Chiquette head? I don't know. Anyway, that's where you're at.
This is the Enforcer, C.W. Anderson, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com. And I listen to it because I'm Anderson.
And I happen to be the whole effing show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me right now on InYourHeadOnline.com. Because you know where the action's at.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to Sonny, the original diva of the WWE on InYourHeadOnline.com. This is the place to come for the real deal about wrestling, so make sure you visit us.
Hey, this is Spike Dudley. You're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com. Stay extreme.
This is Jerry Lynn, and I'm going to create a sensation mongering at InYourHeadOnline.com.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Danny Doring, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com. Every week I listen to the show, and let me tell you something. When I'm not down there with the guys in person, I'm hanging out with Gene, who calls into the show every week. And again, that's InYourHeadOnline.com. If you listen, or I will come and stomp a mud hole in your ass.
Listen up, this is the hardcore chair-swinging freak, the only king of violence, Axel Rotten, and you're the only place I'm at on the internet. That's in your head right here with my man Jack and the one-inch bicep, the only place on the internet for wrestling news.
This is Todd Gordon telling you to tune in every week to InYourHeadOnline.com, one of the hottest radio internet wrestling programs around, the hard-hitting questions, the guys needing the truth. This is a show to listen to. Tune in.
Yo, this is New Jack, the original gangster, and right now you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com. Believe it. If you don't, I'll stab your ass.
All right, and I am back here at In Your Head Wrestling Radio. I am the internet icon, Handsome Jackie Jones. It is good times here, and if you're listening to the live show, go and join the chat room right now here at IYHWrestling.com. Flying solo again! Looks like my partner abandoned me. I don't know what's going on, but we got a hell of a lineup here. Well, I got a hell of a lineup for you here tonight at IYHWrestling.com. Call in all throughout the show tonight, 508-644-8503, or Skype in, jacking off. And you can talk to me about the world of professional wrestling. And if you do that, and if I deem you worthy, you will be entered. Not by me, you pervs. Not like that. Not, you will be entered in the returning In Your Head prize wheels. A huge success last week. And thanks to Juju B out there for sending in a plethora of prizes. A big old sack of professional wrestling buttons. This is pretty sweet. Pretty sweet indeed. So you guys, all you gotta do, you call into the show, you'll be entered. Retweet the show, share the show, tell all your friends about it. It's good times here at In Your Head. And don't forget, everybody, rate, comment, subscribe to us on iTunes. That's right. So it's gonna be good stuff. But tonight, it's only a week. It's only a week before Christmas. 1 week before Christmas, so I was thinking back, I was thinking, oh, Jackie Jones, what would be a hell of a guest here for Christmas? I missed out on getting the gobbledygooker for the Headyverse for Thanksgiving, but I didn't miss out. I was hard at work. I was hard at work all day setting this one up. As far as I know, the first interview ever with the wrestling legend, Santa Claus. That's right, Santa Claus will be here, fresh off his run with Savio Vega. But, you know, more importantly than that, he is Balls Mahoney! Balls Mahoney, the chair-swinging freak, will be here with us in approximately 15 minutes to talk all about Extreme Rising. We're going to find out who's been naughty. We're going to find out who's been nice over at Extreme Rising. It's going to be good times. Now, before before we get into the interview, folks, I'm not going to sing tonight. I know, I'm sorry to let you guys all down out there. But you listen to last week's show and you can hear me singing out the tunes. 11 tunes is... it was maddening. Yeah, if any musicians out there, if you could actually record me instrumental versions, they don't have to be perfect. They don't have to be perfect. You could do a friggin' human beatbox. No, preferably not that. But if you could actually record instrumentals of the Slam Jam tunes, maybe we'll get together. We'll put something out there. Be pretty sweet. But again, thanks to Van last week for putting those songs together. But I do want to talk about TLC. That's right. Not Tender Loving Care. No. I want to talk about Tables, Ladders, and Freaking Chairs. That's right. They gotta add that in. Now I would love to see a pay-per-view when it was like, No Fucking Way Out, Tables, Ladders, and Fucking Chairs. That'll be good stuff. A lot of people here coming in the chat room. Balls will be on at 8:30, guys, so just bear with me here. I guess there was a women's battle royal that was on, like, on the Facebook page. I did not see this. I didn't get to see it. I'm not really checking out stuff on the Facebook. But I guess Naomi won. And I honestly, when I saw the message to the chat room, I was in the chat room. I go to the chat room over at iwatchwrestling.com. If you guys don't know, we do it live on Mondays for Raw. Live for SmackDown, for Impact, for all the shows, and we do it live for the pay-per-view, so we're all in there, we're having a good old time. And, they're talking about what happened on the pre-show, and I didn't get to see it, and they're like, Naomi won. And I just was blank. I was like, who the hell's Naomi? And they're like, oh, that's one of the Funkadactyls. One of the Funkadactyls? Has she ever had a match? Had they ever even said they can wrestle? And all of a sudden, they're in this battle royal, and apparently one of them wins. It's crazy. But anyway, open up the TLC with Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara versus Damien Sandow and Cody Rhodes. And this one was for number one contendership. Seems like these guys have had a lot of number one contender match. I know they had that whole tournament for number one contenders, and then they just lost. Which was really just a big waste of time. It was very Bound for Glory-esque, I believe. But anyway, pretty good. These guys worked together well. It was a short match, though. I don't think it was anything that you wouldn't see on Raw, basically. But Rhodes and a Sandow one, which I was glad to see. Sin Cara, he doesn't botch quite as much, but he just doesn't do it for me. I don't know. Does anyone out there really like Sin Cara? Anybody? I don't think so. I don't know. Match number two was Antonio Cesaro defending his title versus R-Truth. And it's kind of a bad guy to kind of saddle Cesaro with. Like, R-Truth, he's got the charisma. He can talk. Good promo guy. But he is not a good wrestler. He just isn't. And to throw like this match out there, kind of cold. I don't think it was advertised. If it was, I don't recall it. It doesn't do a lot of good for Cesaro. And that guy is very talented, but he does need help with the fans because he doesn't get the biggest reaction. I don't think the fans really know what to make of the guy yet, but he is very talented. And he had a decent match with Cesaro. Cesaro had a decent match with R-Truth, but again, very short match. Just basically something you see on Raw. So going at this point in time on the pay-per-view, I was really thinking, man, this is just like an episode of Raw. There's really not much going on. And then they went into like all kinds of filler on the show. You had The Miz and the three-man band doing like this giant promo and all this backstage stuff. And I was like, what is going on here? This is a pay-per-view. I want to see the matches. I want to see the wrestling. We saw a bunch of bullshit. So, three-man band, this is strange, because the gimmick is growing on me. Originally, I thought, man, this gimmick is the shits. These three guys, just terrible. But, some of the vignettes, they won me over. And then they were pretty much off TV for a long time. Now they're back on TV, and apparently their new way of pushing these guys is that they will just lose to random legends. I don't think that'll get them over. Losing streaks never worked. I don't think losing, especially to the old-timers, clean like the Brooklyn Brawler is going to help. It'll make for a fun segment, you know, fun five-minute segment on the show. But in the long run, I don't think this is going to help three-man band. But maybe they're just doomed to start with, especially with the Shield coming in, because the Shield is so talented. They're pushed immediately as main event guys. Then you also have this other six-man tag team on your show, the three-man BAM. And I don't know if you can really push two six-man tags on your show unless they're feuding or something. And I don't see the Shield feuding with the three-man BAM. So they're just going to be kind of doomed to just this comedy low-end, which I guess that's where they would be anyway, but I do see some potential in East Slater. The fans have not caught on to him yet, but I do see some potential in that guy as being a big-time heel at some point in time. Kofi Kingston versus Wade Barrett. This match was fine, everything, but again, it's just pretty much a match I could see on Raw. There's just something about Wade Barrett that never catches my attention. I don't know. It's, he's got an impressive look. He can talk okay. He's not particularly bad in the ring, but there's none of that stands out. His look doesn't really stand out. His promos don't stand out to me. They don't really capture me. His wrestling doesn't capture me. There's just nothing about him that really captures me. I don't look at him and say, he sucks here, he sucks there, or anything like that. He's just a guy that just doesn't capture my attention. So anyway, Kofi Kingston won this match. It's kind of strange because it seems like they're always trying to push Wade, but he never really wins like the big ones. And I think people say wins and losses don't matter, but I disagree. I think you have to win the big matches to succeed, to get up in the card, for people to like you, to get over. That's the way it's going to be. All right, then we have the tables, ladders, and chairs. Match, six-man match, Ryback, Daniel Bryan, Kane versus Shield, and the pay-per-view took off. One of the best matches I've seen on pay-per-view this year. Just a spectacular match. First of all, I was really looking forward to seeing the Shield on the pay-per-view. And I think they did this well because they've been building these guys up, they've been doing the run-ins, and then they had, you know, you got to pay to see them wrestle. It seems real simple, but I think that's very smart. And I'm a huge fan of Moxley, Dean Ambrose. I've never been a big fan of Rollins. And I was very interested to see Reigns, because he's a very impressive looking guy. And part of me thought, well, he looks so good, I'm kind of thinking he's not going to be too good, that he's just in this group because of his look, which is probably partly true, but he pulled it off. All three guys, I thought, delivered. I don't want to talk about who I think the weak link is and all stuff, because I want all three guys to succeed. I'm really liking the group right now, and I think they have all the tools. They have the charisma, especially Dean Ambrose. They all have a certain look about them. Probably Reigns has the best look, but I think Ambrose, you know, looks like a wrestler too. And all very good in the ring. Some crazy bumps. Huge bump from Tyler Black, Rollins off the real tall ladder. And it was a cool bump too, because it put over Ryback. And I liked how the end of the match went, because Ryback was out of the ring, so even though he was on the losing side, he didn't lose the match. It was a good booking all around, very exciting. It was definitely the match of the night, and I would say a caliber for a match of the year. Daniel Bryan is so good too, and the guy is so over, and even though he is really over with Kane, and nothing against Kane, I would like to see him spin out of this this tag team and eventually, you know, go be a top guy. I think he is so over with the crowd, they should really try to push him as a top singles wrestler. He's small, he doesn't have like the, you know, the WWE look like normally, but there's something about him the crowd likes, and to me, that is really what all that matters. If the crowd really likes you, the crowd wants to see this guy, who cares what disadvantages he has? That is what you need. But the Shield one, which was also great because that's their debut, put him over huge over three, you know, the tag champs and Ryback, who's getting a big push. They looked impressive, got the big win. Great times. And immediately after that, we went to just an absolutely nothing match, Eve Torres versus Naomi. Naomi had very shiny gear on. She almost looked like tinsel, like you put on the tree. Not too great. People here in the talk, this is interesting too, Balls Mahoney and then Kelly Kelly. That's true, we might talk about that with Balls Mahoney here in about 5 minutes, people. Balls Mahoney, Santa Claus will be on the show. What happened with him and Kelly Kelly? Was it a shoot? Was it hard way? Or was it just a thing? We'll find out. But Eve Torres, Naomi, it's strange to give Naomi this win in this battle royal only to just basically get squashed by Eve later on in the show. Why even talk about this match? It's worthless. Then we had Big Show versus Sheamus. I'm never looking forward to these guys wrestling. I'm not really sure. I understand the first time. It's like, well, I don't really want to see these guys. But every time they have a match together, they really deliver. So I'm not sure why I don't look forward to it, but they always deliver. I don't know if it's just Big Show's been around for so long. It's hard to really get like invested in his feuds. But Big Show and Sheamus work really well together. They have like hard-hitting matches, which I like the physicality, as Jim Ross likes to say. Oh, the physicality, yeah. So that is always good times. People are posting questions here in the chat room for Balls Mahoney. Just wait till he comes on, and then send them to me. I cannot pay attention to everything here running solo. Match number, I think they had the three-man band, and it was weird because it's Miz who just turned face, like, just out of the blue. Basically, he came out, now he's a babyface. And then he brought out Alberto Del Rio, who is like, didn't want to be babyface, doesn't want to be a good guy, but now he's a good guy. That is the babyface turn in 2012. He just comes out, and now he is the good guy. Very bizarre. But anyway, then their mystery partner was the Brooklyn Brawler. Wow. Which, I'll be honest, as a longtime fan, when I see the guys from my childhood come out, I do get a big smile on my face. It's fun times. And so Brooklyn Brawler, what the hell? He comes out there. He actually makes one of them tap with the Boston Crab. I guess the Brooklyn Crab. And he gave him crabs. But he won. It's very bizarre. It's like these young guys are tapping out to the Brooklyn Brawler couldn't beat anyone in his prime. But now he is beating one of the guys they're trying to push. It's bizarre, I guess. Was it a fun time? I liked it, but I have no idea. Ladder match, Dolph Ziggler, John Cena. This was a good match. It's a strange seeing the main event of the pay-per-view being a ladder match for the Money in the Bank, because the Money in the Bank is a shot at the title. I think it's kind of a cop-out booking, to be honest. Like, he has this briefcase where it's guaranteed he can run in and get a title shot at any point in time. So then you have someone else have a match for this chance at the title. I guess people could say, well, this kind of puts over the title that they would have this main event, the pay-per-view, but it just seemed really out of place to me. You have the ladder match. I want to see a title up there. I don't want to see the Money in the Bank hanging from there. I know Punk was out, but I don't know. You could have put this match early in the card, but nonetheless, match-wise, it was good. I enjoyed it. The big turn at the end, I don't know. AJ Lee, it came up in the chat room that only WWE could like make you get like sick of seeing like a hot, tight, this hot young lass, hot teen, horny teen, and goddamn, I'm sick of her. She's all over TV. Yeah, she's hot. I get that she's hot, but I don't need to hear and see her constantly on the show. But at least she's not the general manager. I really got sick of the general manager role. Man, that was bad. But maybe as the evil valet, she'll be better. I don't know. But again, like, they kind of put her over everybody. He won because AJ put John Cena through a table. I don't know. But Ziggler's awesome. He is the man. Glad to see him getting this big shot versus with Cena. And I hope to see good things for him. I'm actually going to go to a break here. And we're going to get Balls Mahoney on here. So if you guys want to call and talk to Balls Mahoney, Santa Claus, the number is 508-644-8503, and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Devon from Team 3D, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com. Testify!
All right, and we're back here at In Your Head. We got a special guest here. Now, I sure went over this with him beforehand, but I wanted to say this, because it's a week before Christmas. We've got Santa Claus with us.
I love it. Yo, give me a fucking shot. I want Jaeger, I want Slutton, I want him on my cock.
Oh, hi. That was sweet. I'm going to cut that out and play that for our Christmas theme.
Well, you definitely should. Just cut out the cock, that's all. Don't know what I mean.
Exactly.
It's balls, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, we got Balls Mahoney here with us. Oh, man, the chair swinging freak. If you guys want to call in, it's 1-508-644-8503. And you're going to be able to
see him. It's your funeral if you call in, man. He's not liable for any damage I might cause your brain or your psyche, so call ahead.
That's going to be pretty awesome. I'm looking forward to this. No, you're
looking forward to what?
To talking to you.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I'll shut up. You talk.
No, that's all right. I'm looking forward to Extreme Rising, too. I think each show, some of the shows have little problems, but each show I think it's better and better.
Yeah, I have to say the same thing, honestly. Talking calmly, from the first one as we've been going on. Yeah, each one's been running more smooth and getting better, as a whole. You know what I mean? The people are getting used to the newer faces that we have there. Everyone knows us, and obviously they're coming out to see all of us in one spot again, which is really cool. I mean, I don't know who's having more fun, the fans or us in the locker room. I know in Pittsburgh I was probably having a lot more fun than everybody in the dressing room. So, you can use your own imaginations on that one. The worst time for me was that match because those poor kids were lucky that I just took it, that I didn't make it go longer and made them suffer worse, it could have been a lot worse on them poor kids. Yeah. We could have really jacked them up bad. I could have really jacked them up bad. I mean, you didn't even have a chance to do anything to them.
Do you think that's what?
So, I'm really looking forward to the 29th. You know why? I'm looking forward to the 29th? Pittsburgh, I had to drive all the way out there with my wife and kid. It took me like 8.5 hours to get out there because the kid was awake for 90% of the drive. I didn't sleep. I got like 2 hours of sleep, and then we woke up, did the fan fest. I came back to the hotel room. I laid down. By the time I was asleep, she goes, "All right, we got to leave." I'm like, the Philly building's 50 minutes from my house, so. And besides, I have all my connections here, so I'll be wide awake and raring to go.
Oh.
And again, use your own imagination.
Yeah.
That right there.
Are you sure? Have you found out who you'll be in the ring with yet, or is that even
good
to you?
No, as of right now, me and me are not. We don't have an opponent scheduled. I think after the last match, maybe some people are, a little leery. With me and Meanie, you get the best of both worlds. Meanie and his comedy is great. Then you get me. I'm kind of funny, but I'm a maniac, There's not much out there that I won't do. And this is the truth. The only thing I will not do in the ring is a ladder match. I am scared to death of ladders. Seriously, I've done two in my life, and both against Sandman, and both of them I broke my nose in. Not 4 minutes into the match from a bulldog on the ladder. So I saw a ladder, and I froze up, boom, and I smashed my face in the ladder and broke my nose. I can't even go up on a little step ladder, 3 steps, and I start shaking like holy. When I was 5, I fell off an extension ladder helping my grandfather paint a house, and boom, and ever since then, I can't do a ladder. Yeah, but me, the hell, look at me, I ain't pretty, Look at my head. Look at my arm. I don't care. I just got a, I just had a gash in my left arm from a cage match December 1st. That took, 6 stitches inside the close up and 22 staples on my left bicep. So I have a nice little wound for everybody to see. It should be still pink and poofy and ugly and scabbed because it was got infected. Because I ripped out some staples because I'm, you know, playing with my kid and I started bleeding again. I had to go back. You know, and that was just a little family showcase match. Now imagine at Extreme Rising what I'm going to do.
You said you'll do anything. Have you ever come up to somebody and said, this is something, this is a match I want to do, this is something I want to do in the match, and someone just, like, looked at you and said, there's no way I'm doing that?
Yeah, all the time.
All right.
Yeah, it happens all the time. Let's see, you know what, not much in ECW, because, you know, back in the ECW days, we were all insane, you know, I mean, you couldn't stop me. I mean, I'll give you an example. Like, when the Flaming Table thing happened, you know, everyone loved it. And then the next week after the first one, it was the house show. And so they're like, all right, 3D. I'm like, nope, Flaming Table. They're like, what? Dude, it's a house show. I'm like, yeah, Flaming Table. And they're like, why? I'm like, what do you mean, why? Because we're going to do a Flaming Table. That's why. We're going to fucking top each match, you know? And he's like, all right. So we did it that night, we did it the next day, we did it to TV. Sunday, you know, 350 people, really bad show. All right, 3D, go, Flaming Table. He's like, will you stop? And I didn't stop for like 4 months. I just kept taking it every night, you know. But again, that was ECW. No, there's been plenty of times on indies where names have said, I remember Al Snow's like, Paul, we don't need to do that. I'm like, come on. He's like, no, we're not doing that. I'm like, come on, Al. He's like, John, we're not doing that. I'm like, you know, Perry Saturn once says, no, Balls, we don't need that kind of a bump. I'm like, oh, okay, you know. Like, my favorite guys are like Sabu. I'm like, I don't want to do this. Hey, and then I can do this. Yeah, and then I can, oh, and then it just gets worse and worse, or better and better, you know, being your standpoint. you know, but yeah, it does happen a lot, you know. I mean, especially now, I mean, I have Extreme Rising, you know, which lets me be me. There's another thing happening in a few months where they're just going to let me be my crazy self. You know, in fact, the guy's already scared, so I'm going to call him up a couple times. Look, I got another idea for that match. And he's like, dude, come on, relax. I'm like, no, you wanted hardcore balls. This is what you get. You know, don't tell me now that, you know, you don't want it. You know, that's what you're paying me for. Shut up. Now listen, this is what I'm adding to it. He's like, dude, the guy don't want it. I'm like, well, then I'm looking for someone else. And he's like, oh, my God, you know, so he's already regretting it. But there's nothing he can do about it. He sent me a deposit already. let's see. Yeah, it happens, but that's why I love Extreme Rising. They're not going to tell me no, you know. I hope they're not going to tell me no.
Oh.
You know, and they better not tell me no in Philly, you know. I mean, me and Meanie in Philly, I mean, come on, that's going to be great, you know. We're actually going to tag in Philly for the first time. Really tag. Oh, I can't wait. I'm psyched. I'm so excited. I really am, dude. It's like, what, less than 10 days away. I'm pumped.
Yeah. How did that tag team look?
My connections are pumped, yeah.
How did that tag team come about? How did the tag team come about, you and...
Well, you know, me and Axel did the match. Me and Axel were going to team, and Axel was driving home, and he got into a car accident and broke his sternum. So he couldn't make the next show. So that night they took, you know, Shane took me aside and was like, look, we had an idea to put you and Meanie together. You know, like not the Blue World Order, but like, I'm like, Blue Balls, that's fucking great. Let's do it. You know, I was immediately into it because back a long time ago, before I even got hired by ECW, Raven had the idea of bringing me in as the Boo Meanie, you know, because I was Boo Bradley down in Smoky Mountain. You know, so he wanted me to be the Boo Meanie's, like, brother, the Boo Meanie, and I was like, no, I don't think so, you know, because I knew what Meanie was doing at that time, and I had a lot of pride, and I wanted to come in and work, you know, I was like, no, I don't, you know, I was like, no, you'll work, I go, no, I'm going to be part of your little flock, Scotty, and you're going to make me into a comedy sideshow, you know, like, come out and do something stupid, no, I don't want that, you know, I want to come in and make an impact, I want to come in and be me, you know, he's like, yeah, I guess so. He goes, well, that would be great. I'm like, no, it would be phenomenal if these guys would tag us. But you want me to be a part of that whole little flock thing? No, you know? Mm-hmm. But I got to give it to Raven because Raven came up with Balls Mahoney. He's the one who named me. So thank you, Scotty. You know?
Yeah. If people always say, even himself, he'll say that he's a genius. You think?
He's a genius. So am I, though. You know, that's the scary thing. Like Raven does have a genius IQ. So do I. How scary is that? Like, seriously, I'm measured. I'm at the low genius IQ level on the IQ scale. That was when I was in, seventh grade or eighth grade when I was measured. Yeah. And now look at what I do. But I tell you what, my five-year-old, he's another one. He's, like, scary smart. He knows sign language, speaks some Spanish. I'm not joking, dude.
Really?
He's no joke. My son, Christopher, he's scary. 5 years old, speaks some Spanish, knows some sign language. He spoke some German the other day. He's in one of those Montessori schools. You know, we got lucky to get him into one of them by accident. Oh, yeah, the kid. And then just before I got in the car, see, this is the thing. Normally at the house, if I'm doing an interview, I go outside so I'm not keeping everybody up. But everyone's just going to sleep right now. My wife, my son, my mom in her room, she's going to bed. And we just had a new neighbor move in, Monday. And she came and introduced herself to me. Her name's Heather. She got red hair. She's a single mom. Now, right there, let me stop. And my best friend Dan will tell you this because he met her the same day. And he goes, hey, how you doing? He looked back at me and goes, you're so fucked. Because all throughout my life, I had a weakness for girls with red hair and the same build that she had. And he's like, you're fucked. And I'm like, thanks, you jerk. But I don't think the way for her to get to know me, because she has a five-year-old son, too, and she lives literally next door to me, not like 12 feet from my room, you know? I don't think the way she should get to know me is, yeah, me and my daughter is going to be in Philly, and I'm going to be doing all kinds of stuff, and me and me are going to be going crazy. Ah! I don't think she needs to hear that tonight, do you?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
No, I don't think that would be conducive to a good relationship and a good, you know, parent and child friendship there. Mm. And that's all it would be on my end. But seriously, I want my son to have friends, you know. That's not a good thing. She'll be scared to death. What? That can text me. Get away from me. I'm doing it now. Hold on. Mm. Fuck you. Hi. Hold on.
All right.
I'm
Balls
doing...
Balls to people here.
And... Enter.
That's some Christmas music here going on.
I seriously just texted that person, fuck you, I'm doing an interview, call me back. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, my neighbor, I don't think that would have been good. Yeah, but Philly, yeah, I can't wait. We're going to be blowing the roof off that place. I can't wait.
What?
It doesn't matter who we work. You know what? It really, to me, it doesn't matter who we work. Because whoever we work, whether it be some new guys or whether it be a really good tag team, I mean, the better the tag team, the better the match is going to be. But you can give me nothing in there, and me and Meanie are going to just fucking tear it down. I promise you. Mm-hmm. You know what would be better? Put Meanie, Balls, and Axel together. Mm-hmm. I think that would be insanity.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that might be too much. I don't know. That's not up to me. That's up to the office, you know, but
I
like me and Meanie.
Would you take
pride? It's fun.
Do you take pride in that? You know, if you go out there with somebody that you might not think you never worked with or whatever, and just, you know, have a fun match with that's going to entertain the crowd, a fun match, a crazy match, whatever kind of match it's going to be.
Yeah. Of course I do. I of course it gives me pride. Yeah, a lot of, you know, it gets to the point, like, at least now in my career, people realize, all right, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's really good, whatever, you know what I mean? And, yeah, when at one point there was, you know, and I'll be a little conceited right now, there was a point in my career where a lot of people considered me one of the best big men in the business at the time period, you know, whether in the world, you know? And at one time, I really do think I was. In fact, my friend just put together a DVD, like a best of DVD, and there was a couple matches with RVD on there. And I'm like, God damn, I could move for a big guy. And I was 360 then, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, shit, how the hell did I do that back then? And you know, I'm not as broken. Now, I wasn't as broken then as I am now, but still, even me broken, I'm better than most people, I guess, you know? But yeah, it's great. I've had these little matches this past weekend. Well, 6-minute match had some comedy in it, and then I was actually a bad guy. So picture that. I'm trying to be a bad guy, and the people are booing me, trying to be nice. You know, they're realizing I'm a heel, and they don't want to boo me, and halfway through it, they were cheering us. And one of my tag partners was the company's biggest heel, and they're cheering all of us. And the promoter's looking at me going, what are you doing? I'm like, I believe you, fuck you, dude. And I said that really loud, and the crowd loved it even more. Mm-hmm. You know, and the kids were at work, and I wasn't going to do much. All of a sudden, during the heat, I wouldn't tag out for like 10 minutes. I'm doing all these whole like moves and spots. And the kid in the room, he's having a blast, because he didn't expect any of it, you know. That went really well, I thought so. And he was like, dude, that match was awesome. Everyone was like, dude, that match was awesome. Looked at me and go, where'd that come from? I don't have any fun, dude. What do you mean, where'd it come from? I don't get to do that too much anymore. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you brought up RVD because I really remember because I was a huge ECW fan. I graduated in 94, so it was like, you know, it was really the time when it took off and everything. But you and RVD, yeah. That was the one that really, like got my attention. Like, this guy's really good, Balls Mahoney. Do you think that was really when...
We're talking about the Anarchy Rules match?
Yeah, but it might have been...
I love Big Dick.
Uh-oh, we got someone calling in.
That wasn't me. Because anybody who knows me knows one of my favorite things to do is to eat pussy. So, nice try. There's probably... You know what? Hold on. You know what? Before another gay rumor ever happens again, because it's happened to me over the years... Because, especially now, because I, with my real like love of my life, and I have a kid, and I don't cheat anymore, I probably slept with more women than any 25 people in the world. Okay, so stop. I'm probably on the level with Gene Simmons, the amount of bitches I fucked. Okay, so shut up. So go on with your question.
All right. Well, that guy hang up. We got some other people here. 253 area code. Who are you?
Okay, so you were saying. I'm sorry.
Well, I was really just putting you over that your match with RVD was one I thought that really, like, right away showed, like, man, this guy's really good. And do you think you fit in with ECW right away? Because there are some guys that would be there and, like, the fans wouldn't take to them. They'd have to really, you know, go all out for a while before the fans would start to like them. But you seemed like a guy, as soon as you got there, people really liked you.
Yeah, well, you know what? When I first got there, though, for the first, like, 6 to 8 months, it was really hard because, you see, you probably don't remember this, because a lot of people don't, because once they started letting me be myself, you know, and I started doing the balls punches, you know, then people forgot about, dude, the first 6, 8 months, Balls Mahoney wasn't me, okay? That's the thing, like, the Balls Mahoney that everyone knows, that's me, you know? I picked out my shirts, all the shirts I wore because I'm either friends with people in the band. I love the design. When I wear King Diamond, it's because I think King Diamond is one of the best entertainers in the world. Plus, for a long time, he was a card-carrying member of Church of Satan, just like I am. So that's a big hit there. The Immolation First in Hell shirt, I'm into death metal, I'm into heavy metal in the way. And First in Hell, I mean, come on, I'm a Satanist. You know, of course I'm going to be the first one to go to hell. And it's going to be a blast, because when I get down there with all the bad shit I've done in my world, I'm going to be freaking running shit. So that's going to be fun, you know. But, you know, yeah, when I was first there, I was a gay sadomasochistic biker. Mm-hmm. Now picture that for a second. Okay? A gay sadomasochistic biker. So I would get pounded in the corner and start touching myself, going, oh yeah, I love it. And I tried, man. I really tried. And I just, after like 4 months, I'm like, Paul, this sucks, dude. Because the boys are like, some of the like the ECW regulars didn't want to get in the ring with me at all. Whether it be gimmick, because they kind of thought I might have been really
bagel,
you know?
Yeah, right.
But finally, I just let him. Rick Rude was like, dude, he can work. And Candido all the time was like, dude, what are you doing? He can work. Let him be himself. And Rick Rude was the first one. He goes, Paulie, they put me with Anthony, Paul Anthony, out in, ironically, Pittsburgh, in the Pittsburgh area. And they're like, and he's like, dude, let him just be himself and be like he's healed tonight, you know. And Rick Rude goes, hey, Balls. I'm like, what? He gives me the thumbs up. He goes, go be yourself tonight. I'm like, sweet. So I'm like, all right, scratch that. This is what we're doing. He's like, hey, wait. I'm like, no, listen to me. Just trust me. I've been watching you. Just listen. And, you know, he's like, well, you know, 10 minutes. I'm like, fuck 10 minutes. Just come on. Trust me. It'll be awesome. So we ended up doing something like 22, and I got back, and he's like, dude, that was great. I'm like, I know. Thank you so much. And everyone's like, dude, where have you been? I'm like, hey, let me be myself. And Paul was like, all right, just do whatever you want. And then I switched my music to Big Balls. And he goes, why'd you do that? I'm like, because I'm going to have the crowd sing the song. He goes, what are you talking about? I go, watch, when I'm over, I'll have that crowd singing the song. You think I pulled that off or what?
Oh, definitely.
You know? Yeah, so there you go. So we had any calls? We have any questions from any fans out there?
Yeah, we did.
I'm interested.
Yeah, we did. They keep hanging up. They're scared. The one guy just called in.
He just hung up the phone.
He said something about you liking a big dick and hung up the phone. Maybe, you know what, though? Maybe
if you're going to prank call, don't waste time. If someone has a serious question for me, please ask.
He might have meant Dudley, though, now that I think about it.
No, nothing. Listen, one of you guys out there, come on. Someone's got to have a decent question.
We got a bunch of questions here on the Facebook page. Will Bozarth,
right.
He's got Fuck, Mary, Kill, Joel Gertner, Fred Phelps, and Virgil. We could probably skip some of these. The old F, Mary, Kill question.
I didn't even hear the question. What was the question?
We'll skip that one. Believe me, you don't really... let's see. Vic wants to know, was your deal with New Jack legit?
Yeah, it is. It really is. There's some issues there. I'm not going to get into a lot of detail with that, all right? Because this is serious. When you talk about New Jack, and I'm not talking about the character of New Jack. I'm talking about the person, okay? Everybody who knows New Jack knows he's a legit guy. Well, I may be funny. I may talk a big game. Well, New Jack will tell you, I'm a legit guy too, okay? This is for real. Why do you think we haven't been in the ring with each other? Nobody wants to do it. I'm willing to do it. He's willing to do it. We're both willing to sign waivers to indemnify whoever puts it on. I think we're kind of into doing it in front of people, actually. I think we're both of that mind. Like, we can tolerate being around each other now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, in Pittsburgh, what's up? That was it. You know what I'm saying? But if someone puts us out there and we get a payday, I'm sure we're going to do it. I don't think people are ready for what's going to happen because it's not what you think is going to happen, you know? But, yeah, it's legit. It's 100%, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you said
and if I'm saying it like this, I got a 5-year-old, and he means everything to me. And, look, everyone knows I was best friends with Candida, right? My son is named Christopher. When Chris died, my grandmother died, and 2 weeks later, Chris died, Candida, right? That destroyed me. It really did. I cried because I was taking care of my grandmother the last 5 years of her life. I was the one with her every day, cooking for her, making sure she would get a little exercise, doing puzzles with her, spending all her time was spent with me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go to Japan. And I was taking such good care of her. We put her in a care home, and they couldn't take the care of her that I was. So they actually got her a hospital room, not like laying in a bed in a hospital room, but a hospital room, where she could get up, walk around at my mom's hospital. I was gone for 4 days. I came back, and she was dead because she thought I wasn't coming back, and she gave up the ghost and died. I'm actually have a tear. I have tears running down my face right now. Okay, because all she ever wanted to know was when is she going to have a grandson? When is she going to have a great grand? When am I going to have a kid for her to spoil? And now I do, and she never got to see it. And then 2 weeks later, Candido up and dies on me. That's why I got the tattoo on my right arm. That's the arm I carried the coffin with. That's why I named my son Christopher. And if me and New Jack actually have it out, there's a chance I might not see him again, There's also a chance that Jack might not see people again. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's that legit.
Yeah.
And I don't think we need to comment on that anymore.
Were you and Candido, when you and Chris, were you friends before wrestling or after you got into wrestling?
Yeah, actually, we met. I was a big kid my whole life. Like, when I was in kindergarten, I weighed 150, and that's the truth.
Yeah.
When I was my son's age, I was 100 pounds. He's 55 or 60 right now, And I don't want him being like I was a fat kid, And I met Chris when I was 10 and playing baseball, Little League baseball. And he had on a hot rod, or no, wait, sorry. We were 11, and it was baseball, and he had a hot rod shirt on. And that was his uniform. He He had baseball pants on, a hot rod shirt, his hat on sideways, and his glove on the wrong hand. He knew how to play baseball. It was his parents making him do a sport other than pro wrestling. Now, I was a pro wrestling freak. I used to watch it with my grandfather, who died when I was 10, and I met him a year later. And we just started talking wrestling, and there just happened to be a wrestling show 2 weeks later in Convention Hall. So we're talking wrestling the entire time. Like, when his team was like, in the field, he didn't play in the field. You know, he was a pinch hitter because he wasn't that good, you know. Mm-hmm. But he came over and sat on our bench, and we would talk wrestling, and his coach was yelling at him. In fact, when he got up to bat, he walked. I played first base, and he's talking to me, and he's got a lead. I called timeout. I went to the pitcher, got the ball. I tagged him out, and he refused to leave because he was talking to me. And so at the end of the game, we exchanged phone numbers, and I found out he lived 5 blocks away. So we walked, met, and he took me into his little office room there, and I saw all these old wrestling posters, and it all had Chuck Richards on it. And I'm like, hey, Crazy Chuck. He goes, you know my grandfather? I'm like, oh, shut the hell up. That's not your grandfather. And he goes, no, it is. The show in Convention Hall in 2 weeks is my grandfather's show. I go, shut up, dude. You're lying. He goes, didn't you say you wanted to be a pro wrestler? I go, yeah, it's my dream. And he goes, well, why don't you come to the show at 12 and we'll meet you there. We'll, you know, come inside and you'll set up, help us set up the ring. And I'm like, oh, whatever. But we still hung out the rest of that day. And his mom told me that. And I'm like, you know, like, here's my dream. So I showed up, you know, like, you saw him about 8 more times. I showed up when I was told to. And there's Chuck. And, you know, the ring's already pretty much up because I got there late. And Chuck's like, so this is the big candy you were telling me about. Get him in the ring and beat the living shit out of me. Hard for like 15, 20 minutes. And it seemed like a lifetime, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got tears coming out of my eye, but I'm still taking it. He goes, yeah, he's tough enough. Let's teach him how to bump, you know. Next thing I know, I'm taking bumps, you know. Yeah, it went on from there, man. Yeah, I mean, we lived 5 blocks from each other, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw each other every day, forever, you know.
Yeah,
I was the first one to meet Tammy.
Oh,
I met
really?
Tammy before she even looked like Tammy Sitch, you know, like Sonny. I knew what she looked like. She was still gorgeous, please, but she didn't look, you know, like that, you know.
Yeah.
I met her when she was 17.
You know,
first and only real girlfriend.
Yeah.
Dude,
as a wrestling fan, my
son funny. I don't mean to talk ill of it.
No, that's fine.
Chris lost his virginity to Tammy.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Well, I mean, you could do a lot worse than to fuck your first girl. It's fucking Tammy, you know.
Right.
Think about that for a second.
Yeah, Sonny.
I don't think I fucked 10 girls in my entire life that looked that good.
I'd say it's all downhill from there, though.
I mean, yeah, but, you know, look at the train wreck we've all became since then. You know, I'm not like I'm a spring chicken anymore. Most of the girls I bang look at me now and go, ew, run away, you know. And I'd be limping up to them, hey, come back. Hold on, let me take a Viagra. Hey, you're all ready.
Let's see, we got a caller on the line. Who are you?
Hello? This is a stranger. Are you with a guest right now? Or?
Yes. We got Balls Mahoney on the line.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
What?
How you doing?
Hey,
you sound like a crazy... You sound like a crazy MF-er. Yeah. From the
I'm
ECW.
A crazy MF. You can say it. I'm a crazy motherfucker. It's okay.
You called in before a stranger. You know you can say anything you want on here.
I don't know if I can say whatever I want, but for Balls Mahoney, I'll say it. You're a crazy motherfucker.
Well, so I can read through the phone and catch you.
Yeah. I don't quite know what to ask. I think I'll let someone else. Well, actually, I'll say, have you ever heard the allegation that some people think you've turned into, like, the baseball guy from Something About Mary?
The what?
That you met.
Turned into Don Mattingly?
Yeah, have you heard the allegation that you took too many chair shots to the head and now you're kind of distant?
Oh, I see what he's saying. He's saying
I kind of understand what you're saying now. I have taken a lot of shots to the head. I do have what is called post-concussion syndrome. I do forget a lot of stuff a lot of times. And if you guys, you've probably seen online, I'm sure you have, that pussy-ass chair shot that Marty Jannetty hit me with. It just caught me in the back of the head, and I got an instant concussion, and I threw up. Yeah, that's the truth. If I get hit in the back of the head, I'm going to puke my guts up, you know? But you didn't see me afterward in the locker room where I was running around going, come on, let's get back out there, you know? I felt like an ass because, you know, we were supposed to have a good 15-minute match, and all of a sudden, like, Marty's going to go. It's got to be quick. I'm like, oh, come on, man. It's me and Marty, you know? So we took it home, but when he hit me, he didn't, you know, I kind of leaned forward. He caught me in the back of the head. But that doesn't mean I can't go, man. It just means they'll hit me in the back of the head, you know? You want to hit me in the head with a chair, go ahead. I can still work. I can still go. But, no, I'm not damaged goods. I mean, I got other issues other than that. But as long as I got my painkillers, dude, it don't matter. I can still dance, you know?
Well, let me tell you something.
Thank you for the question. You got anything else?
No, not much else. I just heard of you ever so recently, so I got to start watching your tapes and stuff.
You've been calling the show for years, and you've just now heard of Balls Mahoney.
Yeah.
Dude, you'd be surprised. That happens a lot.
Really?
That happens a lot. Because a lot of people, a lot of younger people, like early 20s and stuff, you know, like even younger than that, they never seen ECW live. You know, they're just catching up to it now. Mm-hmm. I have people coming up to me. So I go to Six Flags. This summer, I was at Six Flags every weekend, pretty much literally. Here's something you guys don't know a lot about me, all right? This just happened. I'm a respite worker. This is a part-time gig for me. It's on the books. I'm a respite worker for the ECW, okay? Mm-hmm. Which means because my wife's brother is mentally handicapped, okay? So I take him places, and we always took him with us whenever we go somewhere. And a lot of people in Jersey already know that because he goes to a lot of wrestling shows with me. You know, because there was something to do. And he's my brother-in-law, you know. Fucking matter to me. But now it's a gig. So, but he loves Six Flags. My son loves it. We have passes, so I'm always there. I have these, like, 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds go, holy shit, dude, it balls Ronnie. I just watched 50 my older brother name. Dude, you're the man. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool, dude. It's nice to meet you, you know. And I'll talk to him or whatever. Yeah, it happens a lot that people who never knew who I was are seeing me now, and they're like, shit, how come WWE never hired you? Because they were scared, you know? I mean, honestly, they were scared to death.
Now someone's calling in to play music.
That sounds like Steve Corino.
Is that the kind of stuff he listens to? You know, you said that WWE was scared of you. I know that I've heard the same story with Mick Foley. That's why they didn't want to bring him in for so long. They thought, like, just looking at him, that was what the guy was all about. When you did go there and you met Vince McMahon, did you meet Vince McMahon, and how did that go?
Oh, yeah.
Was he cool
Dude,
with you?
All right, here's the thing, and I'll say this straight out. And I said this to a lot of people on the street, and I've said it to a lot of people otherwise. Vince is an asshole. He is, all right, and he is. He's a dick. He's a fucking asshole, all right. But I'll tell you this: Vince is my kind of asshole, all right. And I'll tell you why. The guy's a billionaire, right? Everyone knows that. What kind of billionaire gets hit in the head with chairs, gets juice? He's already a billionaire. He did that so he can look at the talent and say, "If I'm willing to do it, you better be fucking willing to do it." Now, that's my kind of guy. It really is. Because, obviously, if I go out there and I have, like, a half-ass match, I'm mad at myself. And I'm not mad at myself for, like, 10 minutes. I'm mad at myself for a week, you know, or longer, or until I get back in the ring and have a damn good match to make up for the crappy one I just had, whether it be my fault or a mix of styles or whatever. Dude, even to this day, I hate having bad matches, and I love nothing more than when I go to work, a promoter going, listen, what can I do? Dude, whatever you want, how long, however long you want, and if I got someone that's willing, I'll try to put together me and RVD again. I really do. I love to go out and work my ass off because I love doing what I do. I loved working those matches with RVD, but when they first knew, were taking a look at me, when they first saw Balls Mahoney, and Vince was into it then. You know, balls, he loved that. Then he saw some of the shit I was doing. He saw the pictures of me standing around with thumbtacks and glass in my tongue and shit stapled all over my body and me smiling, you know, because I kind of get off on it. I do. I don't give a shit about any of that, you know. I mean, look at me. I got tattooed at the mall back in my prime, dude. I had, four in the eye. I'm talking about my piercings now, okay. Four in my eyebrow. I had two in my tongue. I had my lip pierced a bunch of times, but it never stayed. It kept getting infected, so I just stopped trying. I had my nose pierced, both nipples, and I had my cock pierced, Prince Albert, two on top and two on bottom. It was like that for 3 years. So, you think glass or thumbtacks scare me or staples or any of that shit?
Right.
Come on, I did that to myself for fun, you know?
Mm.
So, I love fucking going out, and I love doing hardcore. I love it. Vince was my kind of asshole, you know? I thought John Laurinaitis at first was an awesome guy. He's a cocksucker. He's a political cocksucker. And I mean, no offense to him. That's his job, and he's good at it. You know, he's a political guy. He stirs cities. Vince's ass, man. That's great. You're a dick, and you're good at it, John. But I like Vince. Even to this day, I like Vince. I got nothing against Vince.
Mm-hmm.
I got that. See, at the Garden, the first Saturday Night's main event that they ever did in a long time was at the Garden, right? And what aired when they were doing Vince's kit? You remember this, Jack?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember. I'm here with you.
It was the first Saturday Night's main event. It was out of the Garden. Okay. It was when they were doing Who's Vince's Kid.
Yes.
And it ended up being Hornswoggle. Right.
Uh-huh.
Well, Saturday Night's main event, what everybody saw at home was Melina came out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Vince got all, you know, verschlepped, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Steve Austin came out. But that's not what happened live. What happened live was Melina came out, then they did, then Coach goes, now, Vince, you were in Asbury and coming back from Asbury Convention Hall, you had a liaison, and this might be your kid. And ball, my music hits, well, it's the Garden. You know,
mm-hmm.
I matched in the Garden with Dupree. It's like wrestling in the Meadowlands or in the arena, you know, fucking 20,000. And I come out laughing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I come out and Vince is shaking his head, but his Adam's apple's going up and down. He's loving the reaction, you know. And he kind of gives me the look, like, milk it. So we milk it out a bit. I'm like, Vince, come on. He goes, this is not my kid, Coach. Get this thing out of here. And I'm like, Vince, what's wrong? Come on, look at me. You don't think I could be like you? Look at the smile with the broken teeth. And he's like, Coach, get this thing out of here. I'm like, Vince, just stop. Listen, look, just picture it in lights. Very big, on the marquee of the Garden. Vince has balls. And Vince goes, I haven't got any balls. It was a mean finish, and I just start laughing my ass off. I couldn't help it. I wasn't supposed to.
Yeah.
But the crowd goes berserk, and I go look at him. Vince has no balls. I wasn't supposed to do that, right? But I looked at the crowd and said, Vince has no balls. 20,000 people for 10 minutes went, Vince has no balls. Do this. In the Garden.
I start leaving.
I get up to the ramp, and there's a guy, stay up on the ramp, conduct. So I'm conducting, and you see Vince freaking out, and like, get him out of here. He's going to get fired. I'm going to fire you. So I finally left, and then they calmed the situation down, and Austin came out. That's why when he came out, and if you look, if you go back to tape and look, he didn't get the pop he should have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that was supposed to air on Saturday Night's main event live later in the night. Well, the NBC people took Vince aside, and they go, look, who's that fucking guy? And they're like, oh, that was Boss. That was great. You gotta leave that in there. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, Vince, we can't leave that in there. And they're like, what? Vince fought for like 10 minutes, and finally they go, Vince, Austin's your biggest guy on the show this night, right? He goes, yeah. He goes, did you hear the crowd? After that guy, after Balls came out, it was like, someone they never saw before, because it wasn't the same type of pop. Even when he got the stunner, it wasn't the same pop as I had 20,000 people. I had to the whole show. This was the last thing of the evening.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't even a match after that, you know?
Yeah.
And I had 20,000 people screaming, Vince has no balls for 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't find out till the next day, you know, when I woke up and I was like, so what happened on Saturday Night's main event? They go, it didn't air. I'm like, what? And they go, went from Melina to Austin. I was fuming when I showed up on Tuesday. I'm like, Vince, how could you do that, man? And he took me aside and I was upset, you know? I'm like,
mm-hmm.
dude, because I could have written my ticket with that. There was a 2-year gimmick. I would have got a 2-3-year extension, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was excited. They just killed my Kelly thing. You know, they sucked me out of that. I did this, you know? And then they're like, oh, we'll do it in another building. I'm like, okay, we're in Philly next week, right? Did they do it in Philly? No. Did we do it in Baltimore? No. We did it in fucking Alabama. The fucking people in Alabama, though. No offense if it's Alabama,
right.
But they're not ECW fans. You know, we were down there twice. We didn't draw shit. We never went back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I did, and we did, and we didn't even do it in the ring. We did it in the locker room. They're like, hey. And I, you know, I can thank Laurinaitis for that. So thank you, John. You know, I'm not sure, but I can guess, you know?
Mm.
Thanks, John. Dick.
Mick Foley,
John Laurinaitis, cocksucker.
Do you have any other? I just want to tell you real quick. I don't know if you noticed, but Mick Foley actually uses that story in his stand-up.
Oh, awesome, honey.
Yeah, I know. Actually, you know what? He did an FTW show, mm-hmm. and he's like, "Boss, can you come out to the ring? I'll be Vince, and you can be you." And we do that. I'm like, "Yeah." So he did it in the ring. You know, in fact, I know he does those stand-ups, and he's like, you know, you should do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, dude, you're fucking hilarious, especially when you get going and you got your shit in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's no secret that I take painkillers, you know.
Yeah.
When I have them in me, you get this. When I have this, when I have them in me a little extra, then you get what I am like now. Now, imagine adding some illegal shit to it. Now imagine what you'll get. If I'm going to do comedy, I'm going to have some illegal shit in my system. So imagine what you'll get. You know, and I'm not even talking about wrestling stories. I'm just talking about chick stories, other shit.
Yeah.
I can make people laugh. I'd love to do that.
I do a lot of...
I didn't know that. And you know what? That's a huge compliment.
Yeah.
And Mick, if you hear it, if you get this or hear about this, Mick, thank you for using that, man. Thank you so much. I love you. A lot of people might not know this, but Mick was involved in my stuff in Smoky Mountain that turned me babyface. I actually have a pair of tights that Boo Bradley wore that Cactus Jack gave to me, okay?
Awesome.
I still have them.
Mm-hmm.
I still have those tights. They're sitting on a dresser shelf in my room. I still have them. Yeah, I won't even put them up in the attic. That's how much they mean to me. So that means the world to me, man, that Mick did that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he still does it, really? Is he serious? He still does that?
I've seen him live a few times, and he did. He actually brings someone up usually to play to play your role when he does the story.
You know what, Nick, listen, you got to hear about this. You've got my number. If you don't have my number, get in touch with Brian at FTW. He's got it. Dude, get in touch with me. I'll fucking go on stage with you. But I got to do some stand-up. You got to give me 15 minutes of open mic time and be prepared for me to bury you because I'm going to work in the blue and fuck your world up. But, dude, I'll come and just do that and get a couple drinks. Call me up. I'd love to do it. That'd be great.
Real quick, too, I do a lot of horror movie conventions besides the wrestling show and just in Chicago.
Oh.
Just in Chicago, I was part of Days of the Dead. I did some of their Q&A panels and whatnot. But they did this thing. It was Mick Foley and Roddy Piper, like, versus each other in stand-up. And then they had, like, DDP ran in. It was hilarious. And the horror crowd just loves these guys. Like, you think maybe they wouldn't get some of the references, but it's really over.
Dude, I'd love to do fucking... Dude, you know why horror people love us? Because we love horror. I love horror.
Yeah.
You know who loves horror? You know who's a horror freak? It's Batman Pondo. You know that, right?
Yeah, he was actually at one of the Days of the Dead I was at.
He was there, right?
Yeah, not this one in Chicago, but one of the other ones, yep.
Yeah, he loves that stuff, dude. He's wore, when we were in Mexico, he was wearing some shirts. I'm like, dude, what the fuck is that? And it was a woman impaled on. It was a horror movie that was never released in the States because they couldn't prove that the woman, that they really didn't impale a woman for real because it was that real. Mm-hmm. I'm like, holy shit. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, dude, that really looks like what impalement looks like. And he looked at me and goes, how the fuck do you know what impalement looks like? I'm like, there's a lot you don't know about. And he's like, oh, okay. I'm like, no, that's really what it looks like. You know, and he's like, how do you know this? I'm like, well, I'm not going to tell you, but I've seen it on a cadaver. And he's like, holy shit. I'm like, well, Vlad the Impaler's my idol. And he really is. I think if we were more like Vlad the Impaler, that we made the punishment for terrorism, not execution, impalement. You know what I would do if I had caught Bin Laden? I would have shot him in the leg. I'd have shot his ass in the leg. I'd have brought him back to New York, and I would have impaled his ass on the spire of the Empire State Building. And once he was dead, I would have encased him in Lucite and put a big fucking sign over it that said, thus that happens to terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
Sic semper tyrannis, motherfucker. No, they shoot him and bury him at sea if that's what happened to him. But I give it to Obama. You know what? Bush was in office for how long? In bed with the fucking Bin Laden. Business-wise, you don't fucking kill him. But give Obama 2 years, boom. There goes Bin Laden.
So we got a couple people here. Calling 810 area code. Who are you?
Hey, I'm Jill from Michigan.
All right, cool.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Good. I'm not sure if you remember me, but I want you to tell me some good cats and ad stories.
Wait, what now?
I want you to tell me some good cats and ad stories. I'm sure everybody wants to hear good cats and ad stories.
This is either an inside reference.
Captain
this
Ed is either... story. Holy shit, Captain Ed George. How you doing, man?
Sir, what's going on, brother?
You out of here? What kind of story are you out of here? I'm not.
Well, I don't care. I just figured the rest of the world to hear what kind of scumbag Ed really is.
Dude, all right. You want to know what kind of scumbag Ed is to balls
more? Yeah, here. I want a good story.
Hold on. I'll tell you what kind of scumbag Captain Ed George was to balls more. Every show I did for him, paid me every penny he said he was going to. He always took me out for drinks. He never let me pay for anything. Captain Ed George and Balls Maloney are absolutely fine. Seriously, well, I have nothing bad to say about Captain Ed George and how he treated me. Did he fuck up businesses? Yes. If you put me in charge of businesses, would I fuck it up with an unchecked? Oh, fuck yeah. Give me a fucking $20 million business. See what I'll do with it in a year. You think Enron's bad?
What was that?
You think Enron and those fucking guys were bad? Halliburton, stealing what? Fuck, spending fucking $85,000 on an umbrella stand was bad? Oh, they're going to say, Mr. Director, what did he do with that $1 million? Well, I took a trip to Puerto Rico, I got a house on the beach, and I hired 12 hookers to come live with me, and I did 25 ounces of cocaine with it. And they're going to go, what else? What do you mean, what else? That's what I did with it. I had hookers sucking my dick while I defined off their legs. That's what I did. And where was your wife and kid? Oh, they were home with the money that you can't find. Now, fuck off, you know. But Ed George is fine by me, dude. I got no problems with him. I love him.
We were just talking about you the other day because me and Paco and a couple of the other guys who used to go back in the day when you're actually wrestling still for them, and we were just laughing about the good time.
Now, we used to have a blast, didn't we?
Yeah, it was always a good time. I had more fun. I had more fun after the shows, and well, basically, or heckling, like the Gorilla Barone. Like instead of using his lucha name, Viking, which might have got him some press or something, he makes it some bullshit name and gives him a knockoff Vader mask.
I know.
You remember that?
I know. He wasn't great with gimmicks and everything. I tried to help, but.
Oh, he's hilarious. You can tell him the sky's blue, and he's going to argue with it because he didn't tell you the sky's blue.
That's exactly right. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
But hey, man, I'm so happy to see that you're still around and kicking. I've missed talking to you because you don't come to Michigan anymore.
I'm kicking, punching, fighting. Come on. It's just, you know why you don't hear a lot about me anymore, dude? I got a kid.
Yeah,
he's beautiful, dude. He's smart.
Yeah, I just had a little girl myself. I don't know if you remember meeting my wife. Yeah, I mean, no, but I just wanted to give you a call.
Are you the brownie guy? Oh, yeah.
Yes, I am.
Holy shit. Dude, this guy, holy shit. You want to, all right, I'm going to expose you. Dude, this guy used to make the best marijuana brownies. Holy shit. He would give me this tin of marijuana fudge, dude. I went to the airport. Can I tell the story, Joe?
Yeah, go ahead.
Dude, I go to the airport, and I'm eating the fudge, okay? I've gotten through security, and a security guard comes up to me, and he's like, that looks good. I'm like, here, I have a piece, right? Now, one piece of fudge, am I right, Joe? Like, one piece of fudge had the THC equivalent of, like, a piece of good marijuana. So I just gave the security guard... I just gave the security guard an eighth of marijuana. Now, if you eat THC, it hits you three times as hard. Dude, I've already eaten like three quarters of a fucking, the whole tin. So he's like, this is really good, though. I'm like, yeah, here, give it out. So every fucking, all in that little airport, Lansing, dude, like all the TSA people had a piece of fudge. 30 minutes later, they're all standing around me going, what the hell did you do to us? I'm like, what? You had some fudge. They're like, how come you're not fucked up? I'm like, oh, I am. I'm sitting. And they're like, dude. I'm like, well, what are you going to do? You're going to test positive for your next drug test if you say anything. And I smiled at them, so they all walked away from me. Dude, do me a favor, Joe. give your phone number. Get Joe's phone number for me, so I'm not giving mine out right now, okay? For obvious reasons. Okay?
Yeah, I hope not. Yeah, I was just, you know, like I said, it was so nice to see you.
Email my wife. Listen. Oh, by the way, if anybody is serious about getting in touch with me to say hi, you can email my wife. Now, this is my wife. If you start emailing bad shit to her, guys, I will. And besides, you're emailing. We will have an email address for you. This is my wife, okay?
Okay.
I'll get it.
No.
All right, here you go. It's D-U-B-L-E.
Hold on a second. I have a pen handy. All right,
well,
what was
come on, Stoner, get a pen.
I got one now.
Put down the brownies, Jim.
Okay. D-U-B-L-E-T-R-D.
What was it? D-U-B-L-E-T-R-B-L-E.
At AOL.com.
All right.
At AOL.com. Email her. Say, this is Joe from Michigan. This is my number. Tell your husband to call my fat ass, and I'll call you immediately, okay?
Will do, my friend. What's that?
All right. Now, get off the fucking phone and let someone ask a real question.
I'll talk to you later.
All
right. Thank you so much for getting in touch. That's awesome.
Look at this. We're bringing people together here.
Oh, I miss that guy. Dude, thank you so much. This interview was worth it here for my boy. Dude, that guy is great. Him and his wife are awesome people.
Nice.
That's great.
The chat.
Sure, that's a true story, guys. I got the entire fucking Lansing PSA or whatever airport that was. I got them all fucked up on marijuana brown. Well, excuse me, on THC fudge.
Let's see. 93.
That's the type of guy I am.
937 area code. Who are you?
Hey, this is Mike. I'm calling from Dayton, Ohio.
Cool.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
All right. All right. Balls, it's great to hear you on the show. And I apologize in advance if maybe you've already covered this, but I just joined the show here about 10-15 minutes ago, and I wanted to ask about some of your work in WWE's version of ECW, and specifically about the program you did with The Miz, because The Miz doesn't have a lot of credibility with fans as far as his actual in-ring work, and I wanted to know from somebody who's actually worked with him, did you consider him, you know, very good at what he did? Was he, I mean, would you call him green or overly stiff, or what was your overall perception of his in-ring work?
Miz, at the time, I was like, dude, we gotta go. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, come on, man, you're doing exactly what they want every night. You, to me and him, clicked. You know, and there was a couple house shows that we worked for. I'm like, come on, loosen up, dude. Just listen to me. And we started, you know, doing shit. You know, like, I'm like, go up to the top. All right, stop. He said, what are you doing? I go, superplex. Just take it. I don't know what I'm doing. Just go. All right, boom. He's like, that was good. I'm like, now let's go. Dude, if they'd let us, oh, we would have tore it up. But they wouldn't let us. Obviously, they had no plans on letting us.
So did you both feel like that whole angle was? Did you both feel like that angle was kind of drawn out? Because as a fan, I kept watching it week after week and thinking, when is this finally going to go somewhere?
Well, do you know where it was supposed to go? Right, it was supposed to go to WrestleMania.
And the feeling that I got was that it was supposed to go to somewhere big, but it just kind of, you know,
well,
it just kind of petered out.
It was supposed to, because they fucked me. I got fucked. Period. All right.
Yeah.
But it was supposed to go to Mania. And it was supposed to culminate, of course, with me kicking Miz's ass, getting Kelly's contract, and doing the big old kiss in the ring. And I was actually going to have my dentures put in by then and have my hair cut a little bit. You know, seriously, you know, they were going to clean me up, and that was going to be the thing. And then, obviously, I was going to go over on this. He was going to do his thing. You know, I was going to do mine. And then my son was born. And I took off for the birth. I took a week off. And now, originally, when I went to Vince, and I said, Vince, listen, I knew 2 months before the birth that it was going to be a C-section. All right, my wife does not like needles at all. Okay, like the first time I was around her, she gave blood. She scared 15 people out of the ER. I swear to God. Like a phobia. No, like a serious psychological phobia. Okay. So I knew it was going to be a C-section. And I went to Vince. I go, Vince, you don't understand, man. She's going to be in bed for a month to 3 months from this. She really is. Okay. I go, the TV schedule is fine. okay, I was on a TV schedule then. I go, when can I expect to work out? He goes, well, as long as you're going to get in shape and you'll be in shape, I'd like to push it for this. I go, that's great. When the birth happens, can I have 2 to 3 weeks off? I go, consider it maternity leave, but for a father. And he goes, of course. And I'm like, you know how important this is to me, because I told this. I go, you know, I was a product my dad took off of my mom before I was born. I'm not doing that for my kid, you know?
Yeah.
So, sure, of course. So I knew the birth was going to happen. I went to John. I go, John, listen, this date is going to be the C-section. I need the next 2 weeks off. Oh, you can't do that. What the hell are you talking about? I already cleared this with Vince. Oh, you can't do that. It screws up the angle. I'm like, doesn't screw up anything. Admit that. Just do something to me or do something. I go, what the fuck, dude? What are you talking about? This is paternity leave. I can sue you over this. You know, you can't do this. You can't do this. This is, if I was a woman and this was the other way around, John, I go, you'd lose your job over this. So I said, fuck you. And I went to Vince and I go, Vince, my wife's having birth. I want the next week off, okay, and I'll be back to work the following week. And I go, well, my angle be here. So I just told John off because he gave me a bunch of shit saying I couldn't do it. And I just told him I'll have his fucking job because if I was a woman, he goes, of course, fuck balls, your gimmick, your angle will be here, you know where it's going, you're safe. So I went and apologized to John. I go, look, I overreacted. I talked to Vince. Everything's fine. I'm really sorry. Please don't fuck with me. I'm sorry. And I know you could. I know you have the ability to make my life hell. Please don't. I'm really sorry. That's how strongly I feel about my son, Christopher. I had already named him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was born, and when I came back, and he grabbed my ankle, Kelly was upset, and it's like, oh, and I'm like, ah, fuck it. And I go, so when are you going to fire me? He goes, what? I go, so when the fuck are you going to fire me? I'm going to fire you. You know what? I'm like, you know what, John? Whatever. Whenever you're fucking ready to get rid of me, I'll be ready. All right? So I went home, and I told my wife, I'm like, look, they're going to fire me. Time to quit. I got to call TNA. Let's get the fuck out of here, you know? No! She was so postpartum that she made me stay for the bullshit check I was getting every week. And every week, I'm like, the next month, I'm like, I got to get the fuck out of here, Dale. Yeah. They're going to fire me. They're trying to bury me on TV. They started putting me on the board, okay, with guys who never worked a match. Like 3 minutes with their name underlined. But of course, when I go, oh, yeah, sure. And then when it was time to go over it, they couldn't find me anywhere. And I was reading a book. I mean, I wouldn't tell them where I was reading, and they couldn't find me. So they couldn't, they'd have to replace me. So I didn't allow them to squash me. Actually, the last match I did, I got squashed by Viscera, which I had absolutely no problem doing. This is awesome, people. And Taker ran out and did the choke slam on me, you know? And I did that specifically. Taker came up to me and goes, you know what's happening. I go, I have a kid. I've been wanting to quit. My wife's postpartum. Fuck that. He goes, well, dude, do the match with this. I'm like, I intended on it. He's like, really? I go, no, I love this. I'll do it. He goes, well, I told him I'd come out and choke slam him. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. That's great. Yeah, dude. You know, I was all excited for it. You know, I finally get to do something in the ring with Taker, which is what I thought they should have done with me in the beginning. You know, they gave me the Cena match. I went, now, when are you going to put me in with Taker so we can outdo what you and Bully did, you know? And Taker looked at me like I was crazy. I go, no, I don't need to go through a cage and go off the top of the Hell in a Cell, but believe me, we can, I know things we can do to top. And I'm thinking, you know, 20 different versions of the Flaming Cable Bump, you know, that he can do to me. I'm thinking of a, you know, honestly, I'll say it now, I was thinking of off the apron through a flaming cable with barbed wire and thumbtack tombstone where I take it. You know what I'm saying? Boom. Where he just lets me go head first and I go into it and then there's like a coffin underneath. I thought that would have been amazing. You know, and I was running these things by them. As I said, they were scared of me. I'm running these things by John, and Arn Anderson's looking at me like I got 20 heads, and he started disliking me right then, you know? And honestly, fuck him. I love Arn Anderson's work. He's a great worker. I always thought he was a great guy. Fuck him, too. He's a political guy, too. Sorry, Arn. You don't like it. Sorry, buddy. But you are, and you're saving your job. But fuck you, okay? Made my life hell in Ireland that trip. I was worried about my job. I'm not anymore. Go fuck yourself.
I know that compared to the rest of your career, what's that?
I said, what time? Holy shit, is it 9:30 already? Guys, we got about 10 more minutes. Well, I got a five-year-old. He's waiting for me at home. So, I wonder all that.
Well, thank you for calling in, Mike.
We got about time for two or three more questions.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in, Mike. I'm going to get to these other couple other people.
Thanks a lot, Jack.
Thanks
See
for
you.
Calling in, man. Yep, no problem.
All right, Mike. Thanks for talking to you.
Let's see. Right. We got a Madman Maple.
Hey, Matt. Hey, shit. Hey, Matt. Hey, you boss. How's everything?
Yeah, it's going, man. It's going. How about you?
I'm sick, but other than that, I'm doing okay. Hey, I got a serious question for you.
Sure.
Have you ever fucked a girl's armpit or a guy's armpit?
Have I ever what?
Have you ever fucked, put your dick in a girl's armpit?
Have I ever fucked a girl or a guy's armpit? No, I've never done that, dude.
Oh, all right.
Dude, have you?
No, I haven't. I was wondering, you seem like the kind of guy who would do that, knowing the freaky shit you've done with rats and whores.
No, you see, here's the thing. Yeah, fat, whatever, you're making fun of me. Dude, I probably fucked your mother before. You might be my kid, all right? So get the fuck out of here and let someone have a serious question, all right? Go home to your mommy and cry. She probably sucked my cock and swallowed it. Now get away.
We got another caller here on the line. Who is this? Calling with a blunt number, so I don't know who it is. But I do have a question for you, because we've had him on the show a bunch of times, and he's really outspoken, works for Extreme Rising. That's Luke Hawks. I just want to know what your thoughts on Luke is. Luke Hawks.
I think me and him could tear the fucking house down.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. I think we could, they would let us. Yeah. I think it would be fun. A lot of fun. Yeah. I think he's got talent. I think we could dance and dance well. And if he doesn't want to dance, I think he's in trouble. I'm a very good shooter. People should know that by now. So,
well, I
don't really tend to do it. But
he's a guy who's very critical on a lot of the original ECW guys, but he did say nice things about you.
Cool, yeah. I mean, he's awesome, dude. I'm serious. We could really fucking go. I think we could, dude. There's not a lot of guys out there I don't think I could dance with, and there's some talent out there that you put me with them, and you put us in the right situation. Fuck yeah, dude! I love Homicide. Homicide is one of my favorite guys,
man.
Dude. He was first coming up. I got him some work, and the promoter fucked him. I paid him out of my pocket. You know what I'm saying? I love Homicide. He's great. I wish ECW didn't shut down, because Homicide would have been there. Masada would have been there. Boogaloo would have been there. There's a bunch of fucking guys that would have been there that belonged in ECW, you know?
Mm-hmm. Dante sent this in. I don't know if it's something you know about. He says, do you remember ripping the howitzer gun off the wall at TGI Fridays at the 34th Street across the street from the Hammerstein Ballroom?
Was that during the Giant game? I think so, yeah. I went nuts. I was drunk, and I was watching the Giant game, and I started taking shit down off the wall and freaking out. Yeah, I remember that. I think that was a playoff game, and was that the game? I think that might have been the game when Seahorn and I don't know. It was when we were getting that Super Bowl run back then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. I was real drunk, but I remember that, yeah. I almost got into a lot of trouble. I ended up leaving after that because they were going to fucking do some evil things, and I went and hit the Hammerstein, and Paulie's like, what the fuck are you doing? Are you trying to fucking get us fucking get out of here? I'm like, dude, we won. He don't fucking care. What are you doing that kind of shit for? I'm like, I was drinking the anger. Everyone was fighting for me. What do you want me to do? Fuck, how much anger did you drink? I go, about two bottles? He's like, oh, well, go sober up a little bit and get ready. I'm like, okay, thank you. And I went and did my thing. So, yeah, there's been some crazy times. All right, one more question. Let's go.
Well, I just really want to let everybody know, next week, December 29th, Extreme Rising, Pennsylvania National Guard Armory. And also let everybody know, very next day you can actually order it and watch it for download off High Spots. It's really good. It's only like 10 bucks.
I heard that you can get it online. Yeah, everybody who can't see it live, I really, 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 I can't stress this enough. I can't believe I'm not doing it live this time. You know what? I really can't stress this enough. If you don't go get a chance to go see it live, for real, download it the next day. This really is the closest you're going to get to the original ECW done by the guys that were there. You know? Seriously, we're all, the last picture, we saw Perry Saturn, Raven, you know, Shane, balls.
It's Jerry Lynn's last match.
And fuck, to the FBI. I mean, I'm forgetting guys, you know, Rhino. I mean, come on. It's loaded. I mean, how can you not give it a shot? And you know what? I have a message out there. I have a message for the people that bam out the first show and get the refunds, and then the second Philly show. You know what? You fucking people can go get stuffed, because you weren't real ECW fans. Because if you were, you would understand that we're building something here, and we can't start the fucking company by going out and going completely crazy, all right? Give it a fucking chance. Stop being a dick, because all you refund people are making it harder for the people like us to make something special happen. We're trying to do. We're trying to make something special. We're trying for lightning to strike twice. Do you know how hard it is? Do you have any idea how lucky we all were that ECW got to do what we did? We were going up against Vince and WCW. And at one time, we were the number two company in the fucking world for almost 2 years. We were beating WCW. And if anybody has any questions about how popular we are, one word, Hardcore Justice, the TNA. They brought us in for that. Do you know that the best buy rate that TNA ever did on their own, the ECW guys quadrupled it? So that's for you, Hogan, and Bischoff, and all you fucking guys who thought we can't draw. Your best buy rate ever didn't have any of your fucking guys on it. So fuck you, all right? You want something good, you take a fucking chance, people. Give Extreme Rising a chance. Homicide's there. Ruckus is there. He would have been in ECW. Masada was going to be there. And I can promise you, if I have anything to say about it, Masada will be in Extreme Rising. Okay? And the great thing about Extreme Rising is we all, the people who are in charge, listen to us. Think about that. They listen to us crazy fuckers. They listen to me. I wouldn't listen to me. Well, yeah, I would, but I'm not normal. You know, but seriously, people, give it a shot. Trust me, it's well worth your money. It's well worth your time. And put it this way. I just, you know what? The first Extreme Rising show, do you know what I met that night? I met, and I didn't even know that she existed until this past April. I met my half-sister.
Really?
She met me for the first time at Extreme Rising. It was the first wrestling show she ever went to, except for the wrestling she's seen on TV because her husband's a huge fan and knows who I am. So, unfortunately, he couldn't come. She didn't want to bring the nieces. So she watched that show, and she said that entire show was the most amazing thing and better than anything that she's seen on TV has been. So you people that complain, go suck a dick, go fuck yourself, okay? Anybody out there that wants to see good wrestling, some hardcore, some fun stuff, and see the old friends, and see us all have a fucking blast, and do what we do best, to see what New Jack does best, to see what I do best, to see what Perry and Shane and Raven and the FBI and everybody else does best, what Guido does best, then you watch Extreme Rising, because you're not going to really see it anywhere else. Except there. I want to thank you, Jack, for having me on tonight. I'm really sorry to cut it short. Wow, it's been over an hour.
Yeah.
But I really got to get home to the kid.
That's cool,
I am
man.
A father now, and that comes first.
I really want to thank you for coming on. We got a full chat room. Everyone's saying here it's been a classic interview. Ball's a great guest. Everyone's loving the show, so I really appreciate you coming on.
Can I say one more thing, dude?
Of course.
All my fans out there, and I really mean this, and like Joe will tell you, my weed buddy, dude, you guys know I really don't hide anything from anybody. I tell the truth. I speak my fucking mind. And if people don't like it, they can suck it. You can fuck it. I don't care. You know, thank you. Because without you, there would be no balls. And I would be doing nothing. Thank you so much for supporting me for all these years. And trust me, you keep supporting me, and I'll still give you good fucking memories. And I will give you guys something to talk about. And if you've been listening to me, and if you had more time, I'd find something to talk about. But I'm going to go do some coke and go home and, you know, be up with my kid for another hour. So I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, man. Love
see you later.
Back
bye.
See ya.
This is Notorious 187, The Last Break White, and you are listening In Your Head Online.com. Yeah.
Hi, this is Missy Hyatt, the First Lady of Wrestling, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
We're back once again here at In Your Head Wrestling Radio. We had a little technical problems, but we are all back. It's good times. It's good times indeed. And now, I am joined by my new co-host. That's right. I got a new co-host here in Your Head. We started the show, me and Inchman. We added Barbie Richards. There's been Jai. There's been Little Meltzer. There's been Buck. There's been Brian Danovich. Casino Man tried to host. There was President Clinton. But now, without further ado, the brand new co-host for the next 5 minutes of In Your Head, old Dram Odo Dram, him and a ha, oh, him out of here, oh, her to her, oh, Jim Odo Dram, hee-haw, oh, yeah. How you doing, Jimmy Jam?
Good. I'm doing both listening to In Your Head and watching Tribute to the Troops, so I'm doing two things at the same time.
You are a mountain among hills. You are a man among men, but you should be paying attention to Jackie Jones. How's the Tribute to the Troops going? Are they paying tribute to those troops?
Yes, they are.
That's good, that's good.
So far, it's been a good show.
Right. So far, a good show. Do you have it, like, muted, or what's going on here, Jimmy Jim? Your first time hosting the show.
Feels good.
And you're not even paying attention. You're watching something on television.
What did you think of the commercial for your edition of SmackDown last night? This is your shot, Jimmy Jam.
Your shot to host the show, and you're blowing it. You're watching something on television. Oh, forgive me. What did I think of? But you know what, Jimmy Jam? I didn't see it. I was not home. I was not here. I was out. I was out and about. I didn't get home till about 1:30. So I did not see it. What did you think of the show?
It was a good show. You got more matches than you ever do when there's commercials.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So I heard that they did an angle on this, Tuesday edition of SmackDown. And what they did was, the Shield came out with the mask of Sin Cara. And
I was testing you,
Jimmy Jam, making sure you're paying attention. You passed this time. And he came out with the mask of Rey Mysterio. They're taunting Sin Cara. Hey, look, we beat up your buddy. And then they took him out. They took out Sin Cara. Man's out of there. He's going to be out for like months. He's injured. Ruined my storyline. Beat up. So, Jimmy Jam. Anyone else out there with the calls? 508-6-4-4-8-5-0-3. What else was going on this Tuesday night SmackDown that was tickling your fancy?
Well, in the main event, there was that tag match that was Cena on one team against Ziggler and somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe after all Cena's done for AJ, I can't believe AJ done that to Cena.
I know. He was giving her the five knuckle shuffle. He was laying the pipe in, and then she just found a new dude. You know what? I think she likes the athleticism. This right here, my friend. You're a young man. You're just going out in the world. You don't know this. Jack is grizzled. Jack is bitter. Jack's been up and down these roads. And he knows you can't trust the dames. You can't trust the women. You can't trust the ladies. So this is proof for you, Jimmy Jam. You think they like you, you do all this stuff for bam, bam. As soon as they see someone else, as they see something else that they could get more out of, they stab you in the back, Jimmy Jam. It happens every time. So never trust the women, Jimmy Jam. Because if you do, you will be the John Cena. And you might think, Jimmy Jam, you know what? I'm going to be the Dolph Ziggler. I'm going to be the guy who says, John Cena, you got the nice, you got the hot, you got the tight little Latin there. I'm going to take her away because I got the moves. I'm friggin' athletic. I'm going to create all these crazy moves in the sack. You know what? If you are the Dolph Ziggler, remember this. Another Dolph Ziggler will come along, and she's going to take you right from her. So remember this, Jimmy Jam. Never trust the women. They're bad news. All right, Jimmy Jam?
Yeah. I think Team Hill will still hold on to the belts all the way into WrestleMania.
Who? Team Hell no! They're going to have the belts. I like that team. You know what, Jimmy Jam? Start next week here, right on iytrusting.com, over here at In Your Head. Starting next week. Is next week Christmas? I'm not doing the show on Christmas, but if next week is not Christmas.
It's the day after Christmas.
Fuck that. I'll do the show. Day after Christmas, Royal Rumble's numbers. Royal Rumble numbers will start. You call the show, you get yourself a number. The Royal Rumble contest. And tonight, though, Jimmy Jam, tonight, everyone who calls in, you're being entered. Not like that. You're going to be entered in the contest to win some buttons on the prize wheel.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Jimmy Jam.
On the video, you're Santa Jackie Jones.
I am indeed. Did you like that one, Jimmy Jam?
Yeah.
It's good times. Now, Jimmy Jam and everyone out there in the Headyverse, I want to ask you this. Now, if you came and you sat on Santa Jack's lap, bouncing on my knee, and I said, whisper in my ear, tell me what you want for Christmas, what would you say back, Jimmy Jam?
I'd say, that'd be...
What do you want for Christmas?
I would say, what I want is a whole bunch... I've in your head stuff.
Nice.
To fill my room with.
That is a good boy. We need to make wrestling buddies, like a Jackie Jones wrestling buddy, a Power Goat wrestling buddy. That'd be pretty sweet. Maybe here in the future, a Jimmy Jam wrestling buddy, the new co-host. All right, Jimmy Jam. Let's see what else we got here. We've got the Song Man McGee on the line.
My name's Jack, come sit on my lap, and I'll sing you some rap, cause it's full of crap, whatever I have on, my hat.
Nice. You are a lyricist genius, a musical genius. You know what? And the music just comes out of you, it's like most people, they would, They speak. You speak through music.
Exactly. And I don't know if you caught your new one, did you?
I did not.
Well, here it is for you.
All
right. The one man that I love who always wears a hat. And his name is Jack. When he takes his nap, then he sings rap.
Yeah.
When you're on his lap, and it's full of
crap. I'm co-host of the Lex Man Show.
This is insanity. I am living in insanity here, and I freaking love it. I'm at home. I'm where I belong here on In Your forehead. I watch wrestling.com, and it's good times. Yeah, I want everybody to know, too, if you guys want to, since we're rapidly coming down to the end of 2012, perhaps the end of the world, if I would like everyone out there to call in the number throughout the week and leave me a voicemail. If you can't do that, what you can do, you can send in, you can record it, you can Skype in, whatever it is, send me a voice message of your highlights of In Your Head for the year, or just your general feeling of the show for 2012, and I'd like to play all those on the last episode of 2012. So do Jack a favor, do that, and you'll also be thrown into the pits of hell. No, not in the pits of hell. You'll be thrown into the prize wheel contest. It is good times. All right, let's see here. Songman, what else? Do you have anything in the world of wrestling that's going down you want to talk about?
Well, first of all, before I get into that, I heard you say the most memorable moment of In Your Head. Without a doubt. Do any of you know Tina San Antonio?
Oh, my God.
If you make me ask that, I
would
know
what? Before we drag this down into insanity, I'm saying out there, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, my man Mike Bessler, he actually called into the show tonight. Talked to Boss Mahoney, and man, he is retweeting us the official PWI over on the Twitter. Nice interviews, Boss Mahoney and I White Wrestling tonight. Boss talked about Extreme Reunion, lots of other stuff. Good people out there. They've actually quoted In Your Head interviews and PWI. And as a kid who grew up in the 80s and the 90s reading PWI, the Aftermags, he's no longer with it, but still, you know, you have a connection to him there, the Aftermags. To see something you've done quoted in the PWI, it is very prestigious. It's something that I hold dear. So thank you guys over at PWI, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, for doing that. You're good men. Good men indeed. And Meals here, laughing so hard, listening to the internet feed due to the sheer awesomeness of IYH Wrestling. Well, thank you, Meals, and we should promote this more often. That's twitter.com/IYTrestling. And also on the Twitter, this just tweeted in, Crispy Christofferson, he says, attention should be brought to the fact that Jeff Katz took over $100,000 of wrestling fans' money and never released WRP. Now, we had Jeff Katz on the show. I'll be honest, I felt the guy was a shady dude for several reasons. I talked to Inter about this off the show. There was just something about him. I got this weird feeling about him. And also, he deleted like the comments about the show, which was strange because he came on. You think that he would want to promote his own interview, but he didn't. He would delete him. Very weird guy. I didn't really dig the man. And I don't want to bury him. I don't know if he stole money or not. I did get a weird feeling about him. But apparently, he took the money. People sent him money for this wrestling promotion he's starting. It was going to be on Netflix, and it never happened, but people send their money. I'd like to know more about this. I just don't want to say that he just stole people's cash or nothing, but doesn't sound good. All right. So people are having to go at me with some of the promotion I did for Balls tonight. Because I was putting over there Santa Claus. They said, call in and talk to him yourself, little boys and girls. I didn't mean anything shady by that. I'll send you straight to Santa Claus. He used to be Santa Claus. Now, if you guys remember this, I don't know, maybe I was being too, this is too obscure for some of you people out there. But when I was promoting the Balls Mahoney show, I wanted him on forever because I always liked Balls Mahoney. But right before Christmas time, Santa Claus, it's perfect for Christmas. How many Christmas characters are there in wrestling? There's no wrestling snowman. There's no wrestling reindeer. There's no wrestling elves. No, there isn't. But there was Santa Claus, the evil Santa who turned on Savio Vega and In Your House with Ted DiBiase. And then he went on. At that time, he just thought he was a Santa Claus. But then he went on to wrestle.
I think Savio Vega attacked him.
Sal, he attacks Savio Vega. Savio Vega did not attack him. Santa Claus attacked Savio Vega, and he sold out. Santa Claus sold out, but it wasn't the real Santa. It wasn't the real Santa, which I made you aware of on Saturday morning on Superstars. It was so bizarre because if you watch it now, it's almost like Vince McMahon was just goading Jim Ross. He's like, I know you love wrestling. You think wrestling is a sport. I'm going to belittle you, old man. I'm going to make you feel like an asshole. And I'm going to make you put over this fucking character, Santa Claus. He's like, what do you think, JR, about Santa Claus? And Jim Ross would be like, well, I think he's from the South Pole. He's got good wrestling in there in the ring. And I don't really think that he gives, he takes them away. He made Jim Ross try to put over this evil Santa Claus that wore black from the South Pole. I really think that whole character was just made so they could make fun of Jim Ross on air and try to make him put this over. Because he only made like one appearance. Where could that have gone? Could a guy wrestle as an evil Santa Claus in June? Could he wrestle in August? You can't have an evil Santa Claus all year round. Would he have become an evil Easter Bunny? Would he have changed depending what, like, what he became like a tree during Arbor Day? What would have happened to this character? I don't know. But it only lasted, I think he only made one appearance, I think, on Superstars. He wore black and red Santa Claus. Now this, you know what, though? I'm going to say this. As bad as that was, I remember to this day. I remember him turning on Savio Vega. I remember him coming out there with a black Santa suit. I remember him dropping the Abdul the Butcher elbow. I remember him doing the camel clutch. I remember the total absurdity of the entire concept. So as bad as that was, it was memorable. That was like, I don't know, 20 years ago. I don't remember what happened last night. Well, I didn't watch it. This probably don't remember. But I remember what happened last week on Raw. I don't remember what happened 2 months ago on Raw. But I remember Santa Claus. I do remember Santa Claus. I probably will forget Tyler Rex's name. I can't remember Jack Bill's name. He's Jack Bill because I don't know his name. But I remember Santa Claus. Now, is that because I was young and naive? And I just remember stuff from my youth? Or is it that wrestling, no matter how bad it was back in the day, it was still memorable? I don't know. I don't know these questions. I'm not a psychologist, but I'm putting them out there for you people out there. And I'm wasting time. So when you waste time, you just talk loud and throw out a bunch of bullshit. That is the secret to Jackie Jones' success. Who else we got here? We got Peter on the line. Peter, Pumpkin Eater. He stole his wife, but he couldn't keep her.
What's going on, Neil? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
He can hear you.
What, Jimmy Jam? Jim on a jam. He's in my head. He knows I can hear you.
What's going on? You're losing all your hosts, man.
I found this out that, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a big asshole. You can't go through life saying, you know what? Everyone hates me. Man, this world is a bunch of dicks. Maybe after a while, it's like, you know what? Everybody I befriend hates me. You know what? Maybe I'm just an asshole. So that's the way I'm going to look at it for now on.
You get Annabelle on the show. Just have her cover all your hosting duties.
She gets really mad when I actually bring up this because I say, "Oh, you're gonna turn on me like," and she gets mad. So I try not to say that.
But. Any good tag team, she's got to turn on you like any good tag team will do.
Mm-hmm. My brother stands, the flea stands behind me. But see, yeah, that's a secret because I make sure he stands behind me. It's like you're not standing. Not even standing next to me. Never mind in front of me. In the back.
Isn't she not returning your calls anymore?
I don't really want to talk about the show, but no contacts this Tuesday. So I put it right on the Facebook. Yeah. I'll put it right there out in the open. Then he's got to reply, right? Nah, he'll reply to some other bullshit about some TV or something. But no reply to Jackie Jones. I did get an email a while ago before. He's like, I will not be there. So hence the show with just me. But I'm not doing the show to bury people. I'm here to have a good time.
Hopefully a good man. He just got burned out. He's got his head too busy with these video games, with refurbishing pinball machines and stuff. Kids break cracking up, I think.
Yes. He also is. I don't know how to say it, but he'll tell me this stuff, and I don't know how to reply, because I honestly don't know, I don't care about it. So I try to be nice, but that's cool. But I don't know, he's got an old TV, and he fixed it. Okay, how am I supposed, I don't know, what am I supposed to reply to that? And then it's like we're an old married couple or something, he'll get all mad and say that I don't talk to him, and then I'll tell him, you know what? Well, I had a human table, and I drank, you know, a shitload of booze over in Chicago, and he'll say, well, I don't want anything to do with you.
Because he's straight edge?
He said if my dad knew this, he would ask me why I don't beat you up. And I was like, what? I mean, that sounds insane. Like his dad would see a picture of me with a transvestite and be like, son, you should go down there and beat that boy up. That ain't right.
I love that the most rational man is part
of
where...
I met his dad. He doesn't seem that way at all to me.
Yeah. I don't know, Neil. I don't know what's going on. I'm glad you're keeping up the shows, though.
Right,
it's a lot of heavy lifting, but I'm glad you're doing it.
It's fun. I enjoy it. I was going to do a show last week. I wanted to take a week off. But I will be honest. A lot of the negative people get to me sometimes. It's easy to come out here and say, you know what? Don't let the haters get to you, blah, blah, all that stuff. That's easy to say, but I'm only human. They get to you after a while. And then, you know, but then I thought, but it's not really fair to me. It's not fair to people who actually do enjoy the show. Why stop doing something that I genuinely like, that people genuinely like? Because it's a small percentage. But so I just said, you know what? I can just ban them. I can quietly ban their IPs so no one knows. Because if I announce that I ban people, no matter how annoying they are, people get mad. They're like, well, freedom of speech, you gotta keep that son of a bitch on the website. Why? They do no good. So I just secretly banned them. Now people know, they'll complain. And then I'll just say, you know what, this guy on my Facebook, I can't stand him. You know what, let me just block him. And it has worked. Jackie Jones is a lot happier guy.
Do you know how many downloads you have?
I don't know. Tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands?
Yes.
Wow.
Of course. That's usually the number one sports podcast of the week.
Yeah, no, I know. I was wondering what that translates into in numbers.
Well, there's the iTunes, and then there's the Podomatic, and then the website itself. So I'm not sure, but there are a lot of people listening to the show.
Nice, man.
So anyway, I decided to do the show, and then interested that we hated each other, and I don't know where that came from, but he said we hate each other, and I don't know. I tried to get him to come on the show last week. I got no reply. I tried to get him on this week. No reply. So that's the way it stands. But I like Inchman. I know everyone else likes Inchman. So I'm not here to belittle the man or berate him. Hopefully he'll come back and things will get back to normal. Maybe it's all in holiday season and things are getting to him.
I love the interest.
And maybe he can't find the right tube for his 1952 TV set.
I feel like he's turning into the portrait that the Dark Stranger made of him, just like the portrait of Dorian Gray. He's becoming insane like that.
Yes. I'm the co-host.
TMC, I won't go into this stuff. But yes, I have some new friends that I hang out with and do stuff with. But so what? I don't live next to Incher. I can't go hang out with Inch, man.
Yeah.
We ain't friggin' married. I can go hang out with whoever I want to hang out with.
He's not going to be at the FanFest this year.
I have no idea. Well, let's talk about some wrestling.
All right, man. Sorry.
That's all right, Pete. Peter. I know everyone out there wants the dirt. I'm just trying to keep this civilized.
All right,
you know what, though? If after a while, if I feel like it, I'll bury him. But not at the moment. Maybe after a month or so.
Then we'll get the shoot interview.
Then we'll get, yes. I'll sell that one.
The kayfabe commentary.
The kayfabe, yes. That'd be awesome. The least, all right, well, the least most else... bought shoot Sorry. Interview of all time. You know what, though? It'd be better to be the least bought than, like, the third. Or... Yeah, you can't just be, like... middle of the road. You have to be like the absolute worst. I would take pride in that. Alright, Peter, what's on your mind?
I'm sorry. I'll tell you, I haven't watched current wrestling in a super long time.
I don't think anyone who listens to the show likes wrestling.
Is that the case? Because I can't stand what's going on currently. But I will say, I was surprised I saw one thing with the award ceremony the other night. I hadn't seen it, but the Kofi Kingston doing the avoiding the elimination by doing the hand, walking on his hands, I thought was pretty dope.
It was. I like this. It's very strange. There's a lot of people on our Facebook page who just vehemently like. I didn't say that word right, but it doesn't matter. They vehemently hate Kofi Kingston, and I don't know why. He's just a fun guy, jumps around. I like him. But some people really hate the man on the IY Wrestling message board.
I like him too.
See? Jimmy Jam! He likes a Kofi. I don't know, he's fun. I don't like the new shirt. It's a weird logo.
I just don't like the cartoony nature of, it's not like the good cartoons like the 1980s WWF. That was a good style of cartoon for cartoon wrestling. But the current, you know, everything's pre-scripted, that kind of stuff. I just can't get with it.
There you go.
I agree. Now, you know what? We didn't bring this up, but it was the Slammies this Monday.
right.
The Slammies. We should have done the Headies tonight. You know what? For our Jobs out there, the Headies, they're coming soon.
Nice.
But, let's see. The Slammies, the big thing about the Slammies for me was the return of...
Rick Flair.
Rick Flair.
The guys who had enough personality put themselves over. They didn't need scripts or things pre-written by writers and not bookers.
You know what? I was never even really a big New Age Outlaws fan. Really never really actually liked that team. But they come out there and it's like, you know what? These guys are blowing away like the majority of the roster. Charisma. They're way more charismatic.
Definitely.
Road Dogg, he's out there speaking. It's like, this guy is like... He could go out there and be a huge star today.
He's really an Armstrong, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's old school. He's got a tradition. He came up the old way.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, just whenever any of the guys from the last boom era come out there, to me anyway, they just, it's like they're way above, not everybody, because there are guys, there's CM Punk who stands out, Daniel Bryan, there's some guys, but for the most part, they stand way above the current roster.
Yeah. I mean, those are, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan are the exceptions, I would say, you know? Daniel Bryan's kind of like an Ole Anderson guy, which I like. I'm a big Ole fan.
Ole Anderson. I like Ole Anderson, too. You know, we always meet him at the fan fest, and some people give him a bad time. They say, like, he's mean and all this stuff. But I really think a lot of it is his sense of humor. I think he's got this dry sense of humor. And I don't think a lot of people get that. I think they think he's just being what he's saying is like his legit mindset, but I don't believe it is. I think a lot of it is his sense of humor.
I think it's partly that. I think he's a pretty gruff guy, but I think you know what? I think he regrets kind of being that way the whole time. I think I've heard him talk a little bit about I forgot who he was talking to, but he never really collected his memorabilia, and later on he regretted it, and he wanted to have something for his kids. And he asked, I'm trying to remember the name of the person he asked for it, and the guy was like, oh, yeah, I'll send it to you, and then he never did, and he kind of realized that, well, you know, maybe I was kind of a dick to this guy, as I was coming up, and he really, you know, I think he realizes that the effect he had on people, and he was very, put people on, stuff like that, so I think he's aware of it now, I think he kind of regrets it a little bit. But I'd love to see him, I want to go to the Fan Fest this year, I hope his health is in good shape.
Yeah, he's, pretty bad health-wise, but he always, when he is there, I'll say, another thing, too, he's one of the most outgoing, like, you can't get around stuff, but one of the most approachable guys you'll ever meet for the fans. He sits in the lobby the whole weekend and just telling stories to people. He's just a really good guy, to be honest.
Yeah,
he'll cuss and he ain't like smiling and stuff, but I really think a lot of that is just he'll say something and every once in a while he'll give you a little wink or something. I really think it's his personality.
I think you're probably right about that. I don't know. I always have a soft spot in my heart for Ollie. To me, he's the original horseman. Mm-hmm. You can't have a horseman without Ollie.
I really dug seeing a lot of the older guys on the show. I like that when they bring him out. Even the Boogeyman, he came out. Like, that's not like an old legend or something, but it was fun to see the Boogeyman come out, New Age Outlaws, of course, Ric Flair. And when I was a kid, they did that. They would bring out guys from, like, the generation previously. It's something WWE always did, so I think it's a good thing. Keep doing it.
I totally agree. I really enjoyed it. Most times when I TiVo the new stuff, and I look for anything that I can enjoy, and I end up TiVoing and just skipping past everything, and I'm like, well, there's nothing here for me, but but I did enjoy the war show. Yeah.
I think Tommy Dreamer, that's probably the most over I've ever seen the guy.
I love ECW guys. I love Andy DeCraw.
I'll talk about that later. I'll talk about the hardcore legends of wrestling. Let's talk a little bit about Raw. The Slammies. So Flair comes out there. It was after, and he gives the Wrestler of the Year to Cena. And I'll be honest, when Cena started doing that promo, I thought, oh my god, this is like the corniest thing in the world. And then he gave the trophy, the Slammy, to Flair, which is kind of corny, but I guess it's nice, whatever. It was a fun time. I'm glad to see Ric Flair back on Raw, because the man might be 80, but he's entertaining to me.
I see him.
He doesn't
have to
wrestle or whatever. Just come out there and talk. That's fun.
But Flair legitimately loves Cena, which is interesting because they're two different styles. But do you ever see any of the outtakes from the High Spots interview that Flair did?
Yeah, I was surprised that Flair didn't cry on Raw.
Yeah, but I mean, he really put Cena over. He says, all right, he's not the greatest worker in the world, but, you know, he has talent and ability.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Four Horsemen were inducted, you know, he talks about being in the bar with Cena.
Yeah.
And you get that, you know, and his wife calls and says, what do you have in common with, with John Cena or whatever? Someone 30, 40 years younger, he's like, you'll never know, and he hangs up, you know. Mm-hmm. So Flair has, I don't know, he's got a soft spot for Cena, I don't know.
Yeah, he has a lot of pride in the fact that he got John Cena out to go drink. Like, I guess Cena wasn't a drinker at all, and, like, he made him go out and drink, which I don't know if that's really a great thing to be proud of, but we saw him at the, I don't think Ric Flair is a good guy, but he is entertaining. Because we saw him at the Fan Fest, and he really was trying to get Tully Blanchard, this was at the Hall Heroes, he was really trying to get Tully Blanchard to go drinking with him.
That's awesome.
I don't think it is, because the man's like a recovered alcoholic, drug addict, and he kept telling him, like, you know, I don't drink. He's like, oh, come on, please, just one time. And he tried to do the same thing with Harley, and Harley was telling him he doesn't drink anymore either. So.
Yeah, well, you know, but I love Tully. I always will, but a lot of people think what Tully's thing now isn't legit. A lot of people think it's just a big work, his whole...
I think that about a lot of people, but I actually think his is legit, because he did. I think he actually did turn his life around.
Nick Tully did?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. But, I mean, people say what you see on TV about Flair is Flair. You know, like, that's the guy behind the scenes in front of the, you know, in front of the camera. It's the same dude. So
yeah.
At least he's, you know.
Mm-hmm. There with his...
Buddy.
Yeah.
You hear the stories like Flair put his title belt up as collateral for loans he took out in, like, North, South Carolina or some shit.
Uh-huh.
He put the same belt up, like, four times or something. Like.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad, but it's so funny. The guy's just like
I mean, let's be honest. If I would like to live the life of Ric Flair, hell, I wouldn't get married every few months. But if you could go through life, be a 60-year-old man and pull your dong out on an airplane and do whatever the hell you want, why the hell not?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Plane ride from hell.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
But
that's the life I want to lead.
Do Ollie and Flair ever get into it at these fan fests? Are they ever there at the same time?
Yeah, I actually have a picture of me with Ollie. Arn, Flair, Tully, JJ, and Barry Windham.
Wow.
And they all got along all right. Only, like, they didn't, like, they weren't, like, buddies or nothing. It was funny, though, when they started doing those photos, everyone else was doing the four fingers, and Ole just kept putting up the flipping the bird at the camera, which is pretty awesome, I thought.
That is awesome.
They scolded him, then he did the four. But I kind of would have liked to have the photo with everyone doing the four and Ole just flipping me off. That'd be pretty sweet.
It's like the classic Johnny Cash flipping the bird to country music radio stations. But
Yeah, that's awesome.
But Ole hated Flair. I mean, he, you know, he booked him, but he said that, you know, Flair didn't have but one match, the same shit every time. And it's true, but it was still great, because that's not, you know, the wrestling aspect of Flair isn't what's great about Flair. Flair, it's his personality, I mean.
Yeah, well, the wrestling was awesome, but at this point in time, it's just the personality.
Right. Well, I mean, he did have this, I mean, his matches were the same spot, you know, climb up to the top of the ropes, get, you know, get caught up there, the Flair, the classic Flair bump.
Yeah.
It's like the same bunch of moves.
Yeah, I said this before, I really do think, though, a lot of wrestlers, I think almost all the wrestlers who made it really big, if you watch their matches back-to-back, most of them do four or five moves, probably, in a lot of the same spots. What works for them, keep doing. And I think if you, with repetition of the spots and the moves, and it brings familiarity to fans, you know, mind, so then when they see those spots, it's like that registers with them, and then they know how to react. And I think there's more, I can see more positive in that than someone just going out there and doing something different every single match, because you can get the reaction like, oh, that's just something I've never seen before. But I think there's something to be said about, like, Hulk Hogan's leg drop, Hulk Hogan hulking up. It's like you've seen that, so you know, like, oh, this is, the end's coming, I should get up and get excited.
Right.
I could see both sides of that, but I think almost all the guys, if you look at that, have been real top guys, have done a lot of the same moves and spots. Austin was, when he was Stunning Steve, did a lot more difference. But once he was Stone Cold, I mean, he did, like, about four or five different moves, really.
Mm-hmm.
But they all got pops because people knew they were coming and knew how to react to them, and it was what they came to see.
Yeah, Foley was actually, he did a training seminar, and he challenged the crowd, the audience there, to name five moves that I do, and he really had a hard time coming up with the five, and it really was only about five different things that he does in the ring, but because of the way he did it, looked effective. Mm-hmm. But I also heard an interesting explanation for the Flair doing the same match over and over, and that was that he would be in different territories all the time working with guys who might be, you know, green or not really know how to work, but Flair knew he could always put the match over, he could always get the reaction with this one set match. So
Flair's move, I don't like to use the word moveset, because when we had Playboy Buddy Rose on the show, he told me that he hates that term, because it's not a real term that wrestlers use. It was made by Dave Meltzer, and that any wrestler out there, or anybody who uses out there, to a real wrestler, you look like a mark, because it's not a real wrestling term. But anyway, his signature spots, Ric Flair, for the majority of them, are him taking the bump, getting thrown off the top, falling on his face. He doesn't really have too many offensive spots besides, like, the chop and the figure four, the knee breaker. There's a few, but most of his, like, big spots are the moves that he takes himself. Or even, like, when he has him in the corner, the guy would always no-sell the chop eventually, and then he would back down and cower. So most of his stuff was designed to get a big baby face over.
Right.
And it worked, especially, you know, in the NWA in the 80s. Evans' matches with Sting and Luger and stuff, and it made those guys look huge. Like, they're the Road Warriors, who, Road Warriors are awesome together, but did they really have good matches with anybody else in singles? I don't think so, but their singles matches with Flair, like, they really looked like big deals.
Yeah, it's true. It's Scott Hall had an interesting comment about the Road Warriors. He was saying, like, it was an interesting time in the business, because when the Road Warriors were there, we're still the old guard, where they were, like, big fat dudes with big barrel chests and, like, skinny buggy whip arms, and they were kind of getting over, but meanwhile, like, the Road Warriors are coming in, they have these huge bodies. And it was kind of confusing for the fans to be like, how come that guy is getting over? He's not really in shape. And, you know, I want to follow these guys who may not have been as seasoned of wrestlers or workers as maybe the older generation guys, the Crusher, the Bruiser, or whoever.
Yeah. But I'll be honest, when I was a kid, because I was like when I started watching wrestling, and I would see I would watch AWA, and I would see these like ancient guys, and I'd be like, well, why are they? It just didn't make sense. And then I remember in the NWA, I'd see Baron Von Raske and Wahoo McDaniels, and I would just absolutely hate to see those guys come out because they looked just like these old men who, I was like, I don't want to see these people. I was probably real young where I couldn't even understand like why I didn't want to see them. It's just like these old guys, I just don't want to see them. Like they, and Boogie Woogie Man, I actually really like the Boogie Woogie Man now, but as a kid, I'd see him come out there like, God, I'd hate to see him. I don't want to see these old guys who didn't look like anything.
Right.
I don't know the history of Wahoo at the time either. You know, apparently he had great matches. None that I've seen, but
that's like Flair's mentor is Wahoo McDaniels. He loves Wahoo.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't know. But I mean, talk about people say Beautiful Bobby just one of the greatest workers ever. And I mean, that guy has just never been in shape as far as I've ever seen. You know,
Definitely. That's true. I know some people think the Stan Lane Bobby Eaton combination is better, but if you watch their matches, they're not that well. They're good, but they're no comparison to the Bobby Eaton Dennis Condrey combination.
Right.
And Stan Lane, like I actually liked him as a kid, but I watch his stuff now. He basically just does the like a spinning leg kick just constantly. You think John Cena's five moves? Watch Stan Lane match. He does that one move.
The one move of doom.
But he did do an awesome promo.
Yeah,
he did have charisma. I'll give him that.
Absolutely.
All right, Peter. Well, thank you for calling in.
Sure.
We will hear from you tomorrow night if we're without your head.
All right, sounds good, Neil.
All right.
Take care, man.
Yeah, did you watch A New Dinner in a Movie? I know you're a fan of Dinner in the Movie.
Did I watch it? Absolutely. Yeah, actually, I watched it last night, as a matter of fact.
Excellent.
And it was really compelling. I mean, it's just captivating seeing you two guys talk about a movie, watch you guys eat. I don't know. You see people in the background reacting. I'm watching it for an hour and 15 minutes. And I'm like, I'm not sure what's drawing me in, but I can't stop.
It's very quirky. I quite enjoy it. I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, you guys are doing good stuff. I'm glad you're doing it. And like I said, I'm more of a hard. I love wrestling, but I'm not following stuff as much. So I'm listening to Without Your Head stuff a little bit more.
Cool. Well, I appreciate that.
All right, sure. Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
All right, man. Talk to you later. Peace.
For anybody out there, I don't want to make the show this, but if you like listening to me on the show, and if you're interested in horror movies, check out withoutyourhead.com. And if you don't like horror movies, then don't check it out. You ain't got to. Let's see here. We've got Norrin Rad on the line.
Hey, what's up?
Not too much.
Not too much.
Oh, God.
Dribble down.
Yeah. You might be up there with, like, CM Punk and John Cena for the number of make-a-wishes you do with all the callers.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. Jackpack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nas wants to know, do you think Flair ever blades in the bedroom? I don't
probably.
Think so. I know New Jack does. But I don't think he blades himself. He blades his chicks. That was weird. I don't know if you ever saw those pictures.
Yeah. Every time Flair comes back from like a hiatus and comes back to WWE, He just looks skeevier every time I see him.
I kind of dig that guy.
He just looks a little dirtier every time I see him. His grin gets a little bigger. He just looks like he's just up to no good.
That's part of the reason why I like the man, I think. I like that about a man. I like the sleazy guys.
Good Rolex watch.
Yeah, he did flub. You know what, though? A couple people mentioned that he flubbed some of his lines, but I see people go up there and memorize, like, line for line. And
like Ryback?
Yeah, what difference does it make? It's really about your delivery.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about having every line memorized.
Indeed. Oh, man. Oh, TLC.
Yeah, I, you know what? They've done a great job promoting Ryback and pushing Ryback. You brought up a good point, though. Reigns very much, very more, more impressive-looking guy. And Ryback really isn't that big when you see him next to a lot of the big guys in WWE.
Well, like, it's just, it's, I don't know, it's kind of, it, they've put all this work into him, and it is so, like, it's so transparent. Like, you can see all the work that's put into putting him over. And then when somebody like Reigns is there, or he's working with Cena or Ziggler or somebody, and those guys are just over because of who they are, without any of this extra bullshit being put behind him, it just makes him look more fake.
I said that, actually, I don't really have a big problem with him, but if you would give someone like that's really over anyway, that same kind of push, who knows what you could really get, like a huge, huge star, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think The Shield made themselves stars at TLC.
Yeah. They were given the opportunity, and I think they really took the time to shine. Other people have been given opportunities throughout the years, and they really kind of come up. They kind of half, not really half-assed. I just don't think maybe they have the skill, or they don't have the drive, or whatever. But these guys were given a big shot, and I think they really took it and ran with it.
Do you think it was by design that they were never on the defensive during that entire TLC match? They pretty much kicked their asses. Like, The Shield pretty much just kicked Kane, Daniel Bryan, and Ryback's ass.
Yeah.
Except for that one table spot at the end.
Yeah. Which, well, that was smart, too, because it put over Ryback, and it didn't have Ryback. You know, if that's a guy they want to protect. They protected him well with that. But that's a good point. It's not just wins and losses, which I think is a big thing. It really makes those guys look strong if they're in there and having most of the offense. And it makes them look like a team. And that's something I always like. If you're an established team, you should be able to beat a bunch of guys just thrown together, even though the other guys are tag champs, but they're not normally with Ryback. And these are three guys that work together, so they should be able to beat three guys that never wrestled together before.
Yeah, and TNA, take a look. This is what happens when a group comes in and you want to put them over as badasses and they're going to destroy your company. They actually kick someone's ass. They actually win a match. Something actually fucking happens.
And another thing is, too, they came in, they're unknown guys to 99.9% of the WWE audience. So they didn't have them as mask guys and reveal who they are. They just came out, they're them. That's the first time you see them. Now, if they wanted to have this Aces and Eights group be D-Von and Doc and maybe Mike Knox is the guy they're talking about, whatever. That's not a great group, but whatever. You can't have a mask guys and be revealed, because that's not going to be a shocking reveal to anybody. No one's going to care about them.
No.
Like, if they would have brought these guys in as three mask guys and, like, they pulled off the mask, they're like, holy shit, that's Reigns. People are like, ooh, who the hell's that? Nobody knows. But if they just come in as these guys, then it's like, well, who are these guys? I want to find out about them.
Oh, it turns out these guys I've never seen are badasses.
Yeah, like you said, they win matches. On those pay-per-views on TNA, those guys lose every match.
Mm-hmm.
How are you supposed to get into that?
Why are they even there anymore? Like, what was their objective?
I really don't know. Like, I guess they're not trying to get jobs. They're already there.
Yep. They have access to get their ass kicked every week.
Ugh, they don't win matches. Why would anybody be afraid of them?
They just got old ladies.
They got, some old ladies. It's one of the worst. And you know what? An invasion, it almost always gets over. At least at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an easy thing to book in a way. It's like you gotta, at least the beginning part. They come in, they kick ass. Then where you go from there is the part where you have to, actually book stuff. But they didn't even get that right.
Mm-mm.
They just come in and get their ass kicked.
The only thing Aces and Eights has done that I actually enjoyed was watching Sting get beat with a ball peen hammer for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's the best thing they've done so far in months.
I like their jackets, I guess. I just get a kick out of how much of a copy of Sons of Anarchy they are.
Yeah. Their entrance music sucks, though.
Yeah, it does. I'm always looking forward to, like, how can they copy... Maybe they can have a guy with, like, an oxygen tank or something.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I also like how they have, like, their own heel entrance when they come out of the janitor's closet.
Yes.
To the ring.
I think he was kidding Madman Nate Maple when he said about Jake the Snake being part of him, but I'll be honest, that would be pretty sweet. Like, if he was, like, the old, like, the head of Aces and Eights, Jake the Snake.
That would make total sense, because they would say that the leader of Aces and Eights was really drunk when he came up with his plan. He had no fucking clue.
Oh, there was this thing, DDP, he's Jake the Snake moving to this new neighborhood, and he's trying to get Jake sober, and he's got him doing YRG, and yeah. I guess his paper interviewed him, and they took one little bit about it where Jake the Snake made a joke about a crack house, and they made that like a big part of the article. And, like, so all the neighbors of DDP went crazy thinking that he's running a crack house. And so DDP, he actually filmed this and put it on YouTube. He called them up, and he's like, come on, brother, you gotta cut this part out about a crack house. I don't want that out there. And they're like, oh, our hands are tied. So they didn't do it.
Oh, man. DDP's yoga studio / crack house.
I actually felt bad for DDP because he really does, like, he, you know, he says, like, positive. But I really think he believes that stuff. He's just, like, trying to be super positive.
Yeah, I think DDP's one of the, I think he's a genuine good dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really do, too.
He seems to be friends with everybody.
Yeah, I've never heard, like, any of the bad stories about him. It's usually, like, he loved the business so much that he went to WWE when he could have sat home from, you know, kept getting paid from WCW. It's like, well, is that a reason to hate the guy?
He also drove like 5 hours to take the pink Cadillac up to Canada for WrestleMania 6.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like anything negative about him is like, because it's so weird in wrestling, because like if anyone else... It's always like you got to give all to the wrestling business, or you're like a piece of shit. And then someone who does it, they're like, "Well, he's a mark." it's very hard to make anyone happy in the wrestling business.
Yeah, DDP facilitated pretty much 3/4 of the guys who came from WWE to WCW.
Yeah,
they're like, "Oh, I talked to Diamond, and he talked to Eric, and he got me a deal."
Just seems like a good guy. I've never heard anyone say, like, he actually did anything shitty to anybody.
Mm-mm.
And there's hardly anybody you hear that about. Him and, like, I don't think I've ever heard that about Fold either. There's very few people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, speaking of the Shield, I will say this, because earlier I was saying about how when the new guys come in, some of the older guys come back, like, they overshadow the people. I do want to say, though, I think right now is kind of a fun time. Because a lot of, like, the established guys from, like, the current, like, generation, like, they're starting to fade away. Undertaker, that's more of, the last generation. But most of the big guys are, like, going away. Even they think John Cena's, you know, he's getting injuries. He's probably going to be breaking down. So it's kind of a fun time because now you're getting to see a lot of new people show up. And not all of them will take off, but it's fun to see who will and who won't.
Yeah. I gotta say, though, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because they don't have the competition anymore, so they're not in such a hurry. But a lot of the guys that they're pushing now, they've had for damn near a decade. And even the young guys aren't really that young. I mean, like, Punk's like 33. Ziggler's like 32. Del Rio is like 35. I mean, they should do something with them now, or they're just going to completely run out of time.
Yeah. You know, back in the day, though, a lot of those guys, like, that would be the age when they really would, like, come into their own.
It was, but they weren't...
They weren't killing
doing the crazy shit they're doing now.
And they also weren't on TV so much.
Yeah, yeah. But, all right, man. I don't want to be on here too long. Let some other people get in.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in.
No problem. You're a good man. Hope thanks. To see OIB back soon.
Yeah.
In your head for life.
Thank you.
Good night.
Some other new guys. Who is this? You must know this, Jimmy Jam. Who is this new guy that showed up? He's like the Big E. Big E something.
Yeah, Big E.
This guy.
Yeah.
I haven't watched NXT much, so I don't know, but he needs a new head. He needs like a face transplant. Like if they can do like the face off thing on this guy, like take someone else's head and pop it on him, that's what he needs.
Yeah.
Because he's got no look whatsoever.
Yeah.
He just looks, he's got a little mustache, and he just looks very like, just looks like a normal dude, but then he's got all jacked up body, and he's all muscles, but the face, the head, I don't know, he's like, he's almost like an older, not older, but he's like a bigger Norman Smiley head on like this jacked up body. It's very strange.
Weird.
Needs a new look. Needs a new look. All right, we got the stranger on the line, I believe.
You made me wait so long. My dog's peeing all over the place. Why did you make me wait an hour? You said it would be in a few minutes you'd bring me back. Now it's been so many minutes.
Well, you were on earlier, so I was trying to spread out the wealth here.
I understand. But anyway, I was, you accepted my friend request. Thank you very much.
I'm a friendly guy. Friend me over on Facebook, facebook.com/JackIYH.
I was conflicted because I work in a variety of fields. You know, you had me on that Elves commentary thing. It was one of the greatest moments in my life watching that Elves on the Without Your Head thing. It was an awesome day. But anyway, I had a few wrestling questions. You know, I was watching Balls Mahoney when you suggested that I needed a refresher. It was on my to-do list, and I was on the show today. And the thing I like about him is he's like Mick Foley, except he's got an extra injection of energy and strength. He's not as sloth-like as Foley, and I really enjoyed his matches. He's got that one of those that R-Truth spear move where he spins around in the air. I love that. Especially when R-Truth does. Hey, I had a question in there. Have you guys been keeping up on the Are You Serious stuff on the WWE Fan Nation?
I haven't, but the ones I've watched, I have enjoyed.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff. Yeah, and not much else to say. You got me waiting so long. I'm speechless.
I just want to say this, Mike Bessler out there, he has, he's quoting one of my favorite lines, which I think is overlooked by many people, but it's all about the boot. I always think that's what they should have called Test Old Finisher, because he's from Canada. It's all about the boot.
I know what I was really going to ask you. You guys were talking about repetitions in matches where people repeat the same moves
right.
over and over again.
Right.
I was wondering, after the video games started coming out for the WWF and WCW, all this other stuff, where a character would be programmed with a certain set of moves, do you think there was any pressure for guys to specifically only do a certain set of moves because of video games?
That's an interesting look at it, but I don't think so, because I think a video game would open it up where you could have guys do a lot more moves.
No, because this is what I observed. If you watch, for instance, you know, an episode of SmackDown or Raw today compared to an episode of SmackDown or Raw back in the late 90s, you'll notice that the wrestlers, that the matches, almost anything could happen. But when I was watching wrestling, now today it's gotten better, but when I was watching back in the 2000s and so forth, about 5 or 7 years ago, it was every match, each wrestler would have a certain set of moves, and there wouldn't be any kind of spontaneity in the match, and I think it was because of the video games.
Well, to be honest, when I used to watch Saturday morning Superstars, and they would have the, you know, the squash matches. Those guys would always do the same, like, four or five moves. So, and that was before video games. I remember Scott Hall. I mean, all the guys. I kind of enjoyed that about it. I would see the guys, and, like, I knew Jake the Snake would do a short arm clothesline. You'd do the knee lift, and he'd do a DDT. I knew Scott Hall would do the fall away slam and like the discus punch and you know the razor's edge. They all had like just their few moves that they always did.
Now, how are you doing over there, Jimmy Jam? You got how'd you get the opportunity to host the show today?
That radio gold is answer enough.
Any of you guys keep up with Bull Buchanan?
Bull Buchanan, I haven't heard that name in a long time. He did make an appearance on Raw a few years ago, which it would they're doing a thing with John Cena. It was pretty funny. He came out, it's like, "This is your life, John Cena," and he came out and he said that basically like his life went to hell after he got fired, after he was John Cena's like his bodyguard or tag team partner when he was B squared.
I thought his life went to hell after Right to Censor ended because he's been kind of his career is kind of weird. Well, did you ever follow his career when he first started showing up working with Boss Man and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
I knew him from Right to Censor and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember him. They tried out a lot of different things with him. I think he was a guy that was pretty talented all around, but just was lacking the charisma to really connect with an audience.
And with these big mega companies like WWF and WCW, there's so many wrestlers that sometimes they don't get a fair thing for all of them. What do you think about crowding in the business?
Well, with like WWE right now, I mean, wrestling right now, there's only room for, there's only really one big company. So there's only so many spots that you're going to have. But it's not like, I don't really think the company's overcrowded with talent. A lot of the guys they push, in my opinion, aren't really that, they don't really capture you. So I think if you really had something special about you, you could get it over now in WWE. The only thing is you'd have to get the shot. You have to get the chance, which I think it's hard to get the shot on TV unless, like, you're just a great-looking physical specimen. It's very hard, to get like a shot on WWE TV if you don't have like a great look. It's very rare guys like CM Punk, Daniel Bryan. It's probably more so now than it has been, but it's rare to get that shot. But those guys got it, and they really went all out. I think that's a good sign too for guys to get into wrestling on the indie level because. You know, before for a while it's been like, if you wrestle on the indies, where are you going to go? But now a lot of the top indie guys are on WWE TV. CM Punk's one of the biggest stars they have. Daniel Bryan. Dean Ambrose is up there now getting his shot. Cesaro's up there now after years of being on the indies. So I think that's an added that's like added motivation. Like, you know what, if I prove myself here on the indie level, I might get noticed and get a shot in the WWE. And I can use, not even just like, you know, there and just be like a job guy, enhancement guy. Got another guy that they said might be coming back to WWE is Shelton Benjamin.
Hey, would you guys mind if I put out a good word for a friend of mine? One of the guys who worked with Bull Buchanan was a fellow by the name of Rick Savage. And he has a show out now called American Digger, where he digs up artifacts in the South. I interviewed him on my YouTube channel.
Oh, sweet.
Do some search for Rick Savage. I think his real name is Frank Hugel. Have you guys ever heard of Rick Savage? I think he was in ECW for a while, even. Mm.
The name does not ring a bell.
Yeah, he's real obscure. And the reason I know he's obscure is because he's even less famous than Bull Buchanan. But he's a real smart guy. He gave me some Civil War information that was just extraordinary. He got me to love the South. You see, I'm a big Union buff, and I used to kind of hate the South until I started talking to him. He told me some really, really great stuff. So now I'm out of my Andy Kaufman stint of, you know, saying that stuff about the South. But his American Digger show is awesome.
Okay, cool. Well, I want to thank you for calling in, stranger. You're a good man.
Oh, hey, one more thing. Are you guys familiar with the heat between Luna Vachon and the Insane Clown Posse?
I've heard her mention this. I believe it was on her, there's a shoot interview with her and Gangrel. That's on YouTube.
Pussy clowns, pussy clowns, I want to fuck you up, Shaggy.
That's on Title Match Wrestling. On
yeah,
YouTube.
They've got a bunch of free shoot interviews. That was one of the better ones. Some of them aren't you great, in my opinion, but that was a good one.
Anyway, I'm gonna take the Ixnay, have my leave. You guys have a blast, and I miss Inter, and you're really awesome. You're one of the hardest working men on the internet, Jackie Jones. In the morning, without your head in your head, I don't know how you sleep at night, man. You're at it 24/7, man.
Well, thank you, I appreciate it.
That kind of dedication is gonna win you in the long run. And good form to you, and good form to wherever Inter goes after this. You guys have a good day. Bye.
Thank you. I got some questions here in the Facebook. I'll get to them in a second. But William,
Sex Monster Power Hour.
Holy
what's going
shit.
On there, Daddy?
William Maury.
You know it.
You're still alive.
I come out of the woods of the sexual nature to proclivity upon all those that I want to freak.
My God. The man's been reading poetry or something. He's out here, he's all well-spoken. I think that makes you even creepier. I think that makes you scarier. I think that makes you more dangerous.
Well, don't worry. When I'm stabbing you in the chest, I'll make sure I kiss you on the cheek to tell you I love you.
Jesus, I kind of think you might do that.
You know, just because I kill you doesn't mean I don't love you.
Aww.
I missed you, Jackie boy.
Oh, I missed you, too.
I have to admit, Dad, I have missed you so much. Mm-hmm. My half of my letters on my computer don't work, so now I can't type an I. So it kind of sucks to get to the page.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I take my computer to get fixed, and it comes back, and half my letters are shit. So it looks like I should not take my computer back to get fixed again. Don't worry, it'll work out.
Right.
So I haven't got my jack fixed lately, and I was sitting here on a Wednesday night.
So I know there's been some trouble here, William Maury. There's like you're hating on me, and also, so what, you want to put that all behind us?
Well, I just want to state publicly for the record that all that beef was just because of a troubled time and a mixed up head. But in all reality and all honesty, I've always loved you, Jack, and I've always supported you, and I always will take a bullet for you no matter what.
I appreciate that. And you know what? I'm happy now. My bouncer baby boy, my son, Wee Willie William Morris, is back here with us in the Headyverse.
I missed you, Dad.
I missed you too, William Morris.
I'm glad to see you still kicking ass, though.
That's right, taking names and kicking ass. You've been missing the chat room, and they're going crazy here in the chat room for you. Easy's come back recently. My boy Maury lives.
Well, just because half my keyboard don't work doesn't mean I still don't have a voice somehow to get out there and tell my dad I love him.
Oh, man.
Yeah, buddy. It's exciting times in this wrestling period nowadays.
Yeah, so what do you think? I know you were down on wrestling for quite a while, but have things picked up for you?
Well, no, honestly, I got to admit, I got cable back because of Sons of Anarchy, you know, obviously. So then, you know, of course, coming time is the wrestling. And so, and I have to admit that you have your hit or misses every now and again, but CM Punk always seems to be your MVP, that your DVR, no matter how much room you may not have, CM Punk, you're always going to find room for him, because that, you're never going to see that in our lifetime again and what he's doing. So that kind of stuff you kind of reminisce. But in all honesty, some of the things, like the AJ Lee thing, I mean, granted, she's got a tight ass, and we all want to just, you know, tear her apart. Mm-hmm. But see, how does it make sense for her to turn heel all of a sudden? And then, wait a minute, she still resigned as GM. So where's the logic dictating that now she's on the same side as Vicky? And so where does her resigning as GM come into play? But I thought that this week's Raw actually did a lot for us hardcore fans to bring back a lot of that visceral feeling of what can happen next and you don't know what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. I thought that was brought back, and I thought this week's Raw was one of the greatest that I've seen in a long time.
I did too. I thought this was one of the best of the 3-hour Raws. It was compelling. It's fun to see the old guys back and mix in with the new guys. The Shield stuff I think is really working, and it's fun to see new people pop in and see them get involved with some of the guys that's been around for a while. Freshens up the show.
Well, see, I always remember I watched like some old, like just not old, but YouTube Jackie Jones show from early 09, or not early now, but early this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always remember how highly you were speaking of Dean Ambrose, and I remember how highly you're speaking of this character. And all I got was like this hype. I never seen him, never seen him done anything. And then all of a sudden, he breaks on the scene. And I gotta honestly say, I know that out of that group of the Shield, Dean Ambrose, he's the star. He's the one that will be the future world champion out of all those. You know that he's the it. He's the one that makes that group what it is right now. And I gotta say, to your voice that you spoke so highly of him, honestly, when I saw him come on the scene, I'm like, dude, Jackie was right, man. This guy is it. He can be a WrestleMania main event. This guy is good.
Yeah, he's really there's just something about him. You see him on camera, and you can't help but like wow, there's something about this guy. He's always moving around. He looks like there's little. He's almost kind of crazy kind of look to him. He's definitely got charisma. He can work in the ring. He's got a mix.
Because of the smaller guys nowadays, it's not so much of like the 6'7". Big tall guys. Where he's got that like Chris Benoit worth ethic in the ring. Where when you saw that TLC match, where you're just like, holy shit, like you were blown out of the water. And he has that kind of Brian Pillman tinge to him of craziness, where he's off the wall, kind of batshit nuts. Mm-hmm. You never know what he's gonna say. And those facial reactions he has that mix of that package. That holy shit. That this WWE nowadays, he's going to be a certified main eventer within a year, and I really hope see him as a world champion.
A lot of there'll be guys that can really go in the ring, but they're missing the charisma. Then there's guys that will have the charisma, but maybe they're not that great in the ring. But he's one of the guys that has it all, in my opinion. And there's some guys too that are around today. I'll even say like CM Punk, who I really do like, but I. He's got a pretty bad physique. Like I see him, like, I don't know if I could buy him really beating up a lot of people. And I still really like him. I'm not going to, like, say it's a terrible thing. But this is a guy that I think has all around. If he's given the shot, I think he could be, like, the legit top guy in the WWE. And I'm glad he's there, and they are doing, like, a lot with that group.
He's definitely the MVP of that group.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. I mean, he's a stir. You know, he's like that Brian Pillman where, you know, in the Hart Foundation back in the day, you had all these parts. But Brian Pillman was that one that stirred the drink, that brought all the chaos and brought everyone to the point where they're going to kill this group. And that's what Dean Ambrose kind of brings to this group that I really enjoy. And the other thing is, too, I kind of agree on the CM Punk where it doesn't feel that this title reign will feel that important. That honestly, that 6 months ago, I felt that he was just going to lose to The Rock and job out. But I don't see how they can job him out to The Rock now, given all the press and all the hub that they gave into his title reign all of a sudden. When in the first, you know, 10 months of it, they didn't care less. But now all of a sudden, it feels like, how can he lose now? How can he lose that belt to anybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really do like him. Like I say, I don't like him.
Do you think
he's
going to lose to The Rock, though?
I don't know.
I mean, I thought it was 6 months ago. I thought for sure this is.
I think you probably will. Then The Rock will lose it at WrestleMania.
I just don't want to see that where Rock wins and then we get Cena and Rock 2.
Yeah. I'd rather see him versus someone else.
Because, like, Cena's the last person who needs the belt. We established that in the past year where, you know, those great superstars like Stone Cold and Triple H, they will go a year without winning the title, or 2 years even without winning the title. But they're still the top guy. They don't need that belt. They don't. It doesn't transcend to them anymore. Where a storyline of any sort will put them in the top spot no matter what. I just think it's better, in all honesty, if they keep the belt on Punk until maybe Mania, or until they find that right guy that they can put on him to put the belt over. Because right now, you just got to ride that momentum while you got it, because you ain't going to have this kind of momentum ever again in the next 20 years, except what Punk's building. Mm-hmm. Even though it's only come about in the last 4 months when he's turned heel and he's had Paul Heyman in his corner, I think that's accelerated everything to the ump degree, where if you got Paul Heyman in your corner, that's going to make you the baddest heel, that's going to make you the baddest man alive, and there's no change in that until different. And I just think having Rock come in, beat him for that belt, just says, well, hey, at our current guys, our full-time guys, ain't shit, but we can have this part-time guy come in and beat our champion for a year and a half, and it doesn't mean nothing, but this part-time cat can come in at any time and win the belt. That's where I think where they're really balancing a deadly level of what they're going to do is how they serve both audiences and keep them both happy. With, I know everyone would be happy with The Rock's winning the belt, but in the long term, it just doesn't serve a greater purpose.
Well, I think if The Rock wins the belt, I would enjoy it, I'll be honest. I like to see The Rock out
there.
Well,
I think every fan of us who's been there for as long as we have would enjoy it. But now you think about
the
Punk.
Title from Rock.
Where do you think, if Punk loses the belt, where do you think he goes from there? Like, towards WrestleMania, where do you think he would go? Do you think he would challenge Taker for that streak? Or where do you think Punk would go without the belt if going into Mania? Because he's got to have a big spot in Mania, no matter what. No matter what, if he loses or if he wins, he's got to have that big spot as the main eventer in WrestleMania.
Well, maybe they'd have him versus Ryback, which would kind of be lackluster when the title's not on the line anymore, but maybe then Ryback would finally beat CM Punk since the title won't be on the line. They would talk about wanting to do Punk in Austin.
I think they would have enough to build this year, WrestleMania's, to save. I think Austin coming back, that should be the focus.
I don't think, if with The Rock at WrestleMania, I don't think they'll have Austin at WrestleMania 2.
Well, even Brock Lesnar, he's going to be at WrestleMania. We know Taker's going to be at Mania. I mean, you already have those three top guys that, I mean, I just don't know where CM Punk would land in the fold, because I hear talks of they're planning their top matches, and CM Punk is going to be in one of those. I just don't know where he would fit.
You know what? Maybe versus Ed Gonzalez.
Hmm.
Ed. Ed Gonzalez is on the line. I think he's scared. You know, it's not too often Ed Gonzalez is speechless. I do kind of like it, though. I don't know if you've ever been around the guy. God, you get tired of hearing him.
Well, you put the spotlight on him. I was going to ask you, what do you think of Alberto Del Rio's face turn? I don't think it's right.
No, I don't know. He's the only guy that never really captures me. Like, they give him all this stuff. They give him the car. They give him the big push. They give him a lot of TV time. They give him his own ring announcer. And he's over to a degree, but I don't think he's as over to the degree of all that stuff. If they would put that whole package with somebody else who connects with the audience more, I think he would have got a huge superstar. He's very underwhelming to me. He's never a guy that I'm really interested in.
I just think he's just a natural heel.
I just don't really
buy him as a face either.
He's just not a face character.
How do you cheer for a guy driving a fancy car and having, like,
and acting better than you and saying all the stuff he has that you won't have?
It's like they're trying to push guys that you would think people wouldn't like as guys you're supposed to like, but maybe it's a different generation they're into this. I don't know.
It's the Ryback thing. They're still trying to press that on, even though it does not generally work for the mass audience. I mean, it works for those hardcore, you know, where they're able to, you know, brainwash you to say, okay, this guy's the next big thing. But Ryback, everyone sees through it. I mean, you saw the crowd reactions this past week telling you that the hardcore fans just doesn't buy it. Your media-based fans will buy it, but your hardcore fans will not.
Mm-hmm. Well, William, we got some cup people here. But I would say this has been an excellent call, and it's good to have you back. And you brought a lot of
Can I listen to the rest of the show?
Sure. Let's see here. Ed, are you actually there? I don't think we have Eddie Gonzalez. We cannot hear him if he is there. Sorry, we can't hear you. Swax.
Swax.
What is going on, people?
So how's it going, Swax?
Where is Mr. Inter at tonight?
He's not here. I believe he quit the show. I believe we went over this in depth earlier on the program. He's not here last week.
We need a new co-host. I'll be perfect co-host for you. I'm already the MVP caller of all your show. What a better person to have a co-host on your show.
That'd be very
legendary in your head to have the Swax Man as your co-host.
Swax, earlier on this very show, we had the man who was all over your Kelly, Balls Mahoney.
Balls.
Do you think Kelly, she was handling the balls? Do you think Kelly was handling balls?
Yeah, Kelly's was extreme back then, so I think she was handling the ball.
So would you mind that?
Yeah, as long as it's one of my ECW people and I trust, you know, I put faith in the ECW people. Mm-hmm. You know, Kelly, you know, I would trust her with an ECW person.
All right. So you don't mind getting the Balls Mahoney sloppy seconds?
Because it's extreme.
I think it very well would be. So what's on your mind, Swax? Because I actually got to try to wrap this up here, because I actually got to have a little early night here.
Well, I was at Raw last Monday night for the Slammy Awards.
Oh, really?
Yep. In Philadelphia, and it was awesome. And I got, like, this restricted seating area that you sit right behind the stage, that you could just see, you know, the scoreboard videos and the ring. So, like, half my section, because it was the Slammy Awards, we were unable to see any of the Slammy Awards on the stage, like, in the first hour, because the stadium I was in, they turned off all the scoreboard monitors that you're supposed to watch, like, the Raw program as it airs on television on the scoreboard. So a lot of people on my row and the row behind me was all bitching and complaining. So we went up to guest services in the stadium. We said, hey, the Slammy Awards is on. Most of the stuff that's happening tonight is happening on the stage because there's award presentations going on. So we asked to be reseated. So all my row that couldn't see anything and a couple rows behind us, we all got upgraded to club box seats, baby.
Sweet. You're living large there, Swax.
The Swax Man always living at large.
Mm-hmm. Living at large, Swax. All right, so did you enjoy the show? It was fun to watch on TV.
Yeah, it was very, very good. But what happened is when Dolph Ziggler tried to cash in and Cena came out and he cost Dolph Ziggler to win the World Heavyweight Championship, the whole buzz in the crowd just deflated because that Justin Bieber bitch had to ruin a historic moment here in Philadelphia so that Dolph Ziggler could cash in and become the World Heavyweight Champion when the Slammy Award night was happening. Once Cena did that, they booed the living shit out of him after that, and he was always booed for the rest of the night.
So, Swax, you had a good time?
Yeah, I had a good time.
That's all that matters.
I loved when John Cena got his ass kicked by Big E, whatever
Big
his name
E Langston.
Is. Yeah, Big E Langston. He's a God's gift of thing. He's going to put Cena in his place every time Cena tries to put on his cape. So as long as that's happening and Dolph does his thing and AJ's doing her thing and CM Punk's doing his thing, it's all good and good and peaceful in Swaxy Land. All
right. Well, thank you for calling in, Swax. You're a good man, and we'll talk to you very soon.
All right.
All right. I just want to let everybody. I got a few questions here on the Facebook page. Vic wants to know if the Mayan prophecy comes true this Friday. How much do you think will hurt the buy rate for the Royal Rumble? I'll have to call up the Melts, but I'm pretty sure if the world ends, it's going to hurt the Royal Rumble buy rate. Lewis wants to know, does Jack like guys' facials as much as Melts? I do not believe so. I think the Melts, he's worn. You know, Melts used to tell a story all the time where he said he shoved like a bagel in like a girlfriend's face. It was very weird, David Meltzer. Ben Hodgins wants to know, wonder where Flair got his Rolex. I do like to give facials, though, Lewis. He wants to know, where does Flair get his Rolex? I don't know, Ben. Probably from, like, a guy in an alley. Like, an Asian guy. Probably selling some Rolex. And, Renee wants to know, how much cooler is the Shield than Aces and Eights? Just no comparison. No comparison. All right, Princess Fluff, I want to give you a shout-out. You're a good girl here in the chat room, Juju B. Thank you for coming on. We'll come in the chat room. Coming on, Jack. All right, thank everybody for listening to the show. Body of the Beautiful People, Boxman, Chi-Town, Matt. Boxman, he's a good man. Body's a good man. Chi-Town's a good man. Dave from the Grave, Hoosier Highway, Mike B, No One Special, the OIB. I think that's a fake OIB. Princess Fluff, Swax. The Outsider, Easy, TMC, Tommy, I don't know, some fag name, Ultimate Beef, The Village, Weeble, and everyone else who was in the chat room throughout the show, everyone who called into the show, Ed Gonzalez out there, thank you all for listening. Join us next week here at IYHWrestling.com. We'll be back. Yeah. What will happen? I don't know, but Leilani Kai will be on the show very shortly. Female wrestling legend Leilani Kai, and this coming week, everyone check out next weekend Extreme Rising. If you're in the Philly area, like Swag should go up there and check this out. But the next day on High Spots, you will be able to get the show on demand for only $10. It's good stuff, guys, so check that out. Hope OIB comes back soon. If not, the show will keep going. I enjoy doing it. Thanks for the support from everyone here in the chat room. And until next week, the balcony is closed. I'm stealing lines from Roger Ebert. We can't do that. Until next week, I'm getting the hell out of here. All right, everybody. Let me play up some tunes. What's a good tune to play? I don't know. I don't have much. I have just some weird song here. Let me add a song here while we're killing time. William Morey?
Yes.
Say something here while I'm closing up the show.
I would like to say we're all bound for glory.
No.
My name is William Morey.
Bound for glory! Shout out to William Morey. Woo!
Bound for glory.
That's probably the great. Would you say that is better or on the same par with?
Look, I have to admit that song got just taken to like this entirely new level when Jack sings it. You put anything to Jack, any song,
you got a gold record. I wish people out there could understand the greatness of this man, that you put his vocals to anything, and you can make shit into diamonds in a can.
Oh, my God, you're the man. You know what? Just for that, I'm going to close out the show with Bound for Glory, everybody.
For Jackie Joe, I'm Jimmy Jam. We'll see you all next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. Jim of the Jam, him of the high, him of the him of the high. I'm out of here.
Hey, this is High Flying Chris Hammack, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
The end of life. The end of time. The end of life.